Good evening, and welcome to, well, the start of the Tiny Plastic People Christmas / New Year podcast. And for those of you who don't celebrate years, welcome anyway.
Time's a construct.
I have some questions.
It's fine.
Joining me initially is Rich.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
And we have been singled out to start this festive, merry fun by being effectively the editorial team of the Tiny Plastic People website and podcast, although editorial stuff doesn't happen very much these days.
It's a bold accusation.
Yeah.
We're editing. It's just so well edited. It just means, like, we've achieved perfect website.
That is it, yes. Which has no articles. I think I'm fairly sure this is one thing I did wonder whether I want to address. It was, I'm fairly sure last year we did a bit of the same talk and did say we're definitely going to have more articles on the website in the coming year. And I think we failed to do that. But we have done a lot of podcasts.
Done a way load of podcasts. It turns out talking easier than typing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I say a lot of things every year about what is going to happen the next year, and it's always a load of bollocks. So I wouldn't worry.
Precisely.
Not unreasonable as a system.
So please ignore the rest of this podcast.
It's gold. It's going to be perfect. What I would ignore is if we make any predictions for the next year, though, because they probably won't come true. In fact, actually have been proven not to come true. So what we're going to do is just go through a bit of a general sort of talk about how we think the year's gone before we break out into separate festive rooms when we talk to some of our contributors and other pod hosts and see how our years have gone in general.
Drew, that was the most project management way you could possibly. We're going to break out into rooms. Fuck me. Recording on Teams.
Someone's got Zoom brain.
Work has destroyed my ability
We've got a 3-hour
really
festive
Christmas
podcast
activity.
Workshop.
Yep.
We've already assigned you teams, so we're going to send you into those breakout rooms now, and then we'll summon you back in at in about 15 minutes once you've done your icebreakers, and
pick a member of your team to present back to the group. I think it's
and come up with a funny team name.
Yeah, I think
to
all
these
of
people
us,
which you don't know.
Although we all have different careers, we, I think, maybe in the last couple of years have all ended up in sort of more vaguely leadershipy, project managementy type positions that do more, at least that do more of that bollocks. So maybe it's no surprise that the podcast is heading that way.
We did release a 5-episode series, which was basically project management. So
yeah. Well, maybe that's a good thing to start with. Like, do you guys want to talk a little bit about that? And that seems like a big point of this year. Like,
my goodness, that's almost a segue. Yeah.
Almost.
We got there. I mean, what is to be said that has not been said by us already? I think that's the question which I would first ask. And the second question is it a question or is it a statement? That, yeah, it was a massive time sink and a massive project that we done did. But it was generally really good. Like, I am genuinely outstanding about.
I thought you were going to say you're genuinely outstanding, and I was like,
I'm
I like it.
Listen, 2024 pivot to being humble, and generally, like, just the amount of stuff and the amount of stuff from the community and the amount of things that just went into just all of that stuff basically dominated the entire year for me and meant that I didn't really do that much else. But what I did do, which was related to our Crown of Salt and Shadow project, which is the one which we haven't actually named yet, so now I've named it, and the book and, like, the event and all the terrain and the models and stuff, and I talked about this a little bit in one of our other segments, so I won't waffle too much about it, but genuinely it was a huge highlight for the year just to be able to focus on a big thing and see it all come together. That's pretty good. You don't usually do that unless, like, you have a sort of, like, sick project management brain where you want to get something done. So
I crave metrics and output.
I crave outputs and outcomes.
As someone who was less involved enough to get my name in the book, but not involved enough that I felt the need to buy the book as a memento. like watching broadly from the sidelines, let's say, not the outside, but the sidelines, I thought what you guys and the community that took part produced was just fucking cool, amazing, so good. And
yes,
you seem to have had some recognition on like the system and stuff from a couple of like narrative gaming hubs and stuff, which is nice. Mm. So, you know, you'll be running 50 player Necromunda campaigns at Adepticon in a few years, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was the sort of, that's the way we sort of milestone it, isn't it? This was the first event that TPP have run. I don't know how officially it was TPP. It is in the book, so
it's got look, we've got a brand. I had to brand it.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's TPP. If it's bad, it's James. Audrey.
Exactly.
Ideal system, yeah. Being able to hide under a bushel is always useful. So, I think that's... I mean, if we're talking about things we're going to do next year, I wouldn't expect an event, because I know for a fact that it took us about 18 months to write the last one. So the chance of it happening within the next year is...
Or the chance of us over-promising and then trying to do something is also high.
Yes.
On the flip side, not to immediately over-promise for you, and I'm sure there's things you change or things you wouldn't use again, but you do have a framework now that you could latch some story onto. You have some terrain built that you could use again. I guess the difficulty is, and this is me hypothesizing, is that you don't just want to run like the same thing again, because, or even necessarily just a sequel to it, because theme can become stale, people's interest can wane, I guess. Like, so I suppose that's some challenge in new.
Difficult second album.
Yeah.
I certainly think James and I have talked about it as as ideas. And I will say that certainly none of them will be using anything of what has gone before, because that would be sensible. And in general, we're opposed to that. So
I do quite like the idea of just doing random stuff. That's kind of where my brain is, but it's whether or not you can bring enough people along on your silly journey or not to make it worth it, I think. And for this one, we definitely did. But I think we would have to really just make sure that the thing which we wanted to do next was something that enough people also wanted to do. And that was like the scary thing about doing this, the one which we did, the Salt and Shadow, was that we had lots of people who really just wanted to do something, and that they kind of glommed onto it and did. The risk is that you start going down the route of like, oh, hey, well, this is what we want to do, and then everyone goes, ah, yeah, let's not do that, and then you're just kind of churning out stuff for no real reason. So that was something which I would want to avoid. But, you know, I think we learned a lot, and we can always keep learning and then growing and changing and making sure that we do fun things. So it has to hit the fun barrier, basically.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think on that point, potentially we'll actually hear that chat now that you had with some of our other contributors. And then,
please do. Otherwise I'll repeat myself more.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So, nice. Okay, well, yeah, we'll definitely. We'll pass over to James again. James in a different time zone, or time place, or time pocket, in the breakout room.
In the breakout rooms, yes.
Yeah.
They're waiting for you in the breakout rooms.
And we'll just come back to us after that.
Insert jingling bells and howling wind here.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome one and all. We are feeling the vibes. We're feeling those festive vibes. And here I am, Sleepy James, and I'm joined by Snoozy JD and probably slightly more awake Alistair.
2 hours ahead of you.
Which means that we're probably heading into nightcap zone. Is that right? Oh. I thought so. Yes, welcome to a brief festive interlude for the end of the year, festive holiday time or whatever it is you are celebrating. And we're here to wrap up our little tiny plastic people years. So, yeah, quickly, Asda JD, how's the whole 2023 experience wrapped around your noggins?
Well, 2023 has certainly been a year that happened in human history and my own personal history, I suppose. But yeah, deeply strange and sometimes very stressful year.
Lovely, yeah. Feeling that as well? How about you, Alistair?
Yeah, I also haven't had an amazing year personally, I suppose, and it's impacted my hobby time a bit, I think. I started out the year pretty well, but I pushed myself hard to get some things done for a competition, pending competition, where I did quite well, but that murdered my motivation for quite a while, which was not so good.
Yeah, I realised that I had a year where I was thinking, like, I have barely painted anything, and then I looked at the photo of all of the terrain I painted, and then all of the models which I painted. I was like, oh shit, I did loads, but I was doing it under such duress that it didn't fit. Yeah, it was a lot this year, it feels like. And also, yes, as ever, personal lives, etc., just spill on into the time which you can spend enjoying painting your little people. And that is what we're here to talk about, really, isn't it? Little people. Or robots. Little robots. Or beasts. Yes. So, anyway, we have four categories to go through from the Tiny Plastic People Overlords, and they have demanded that we discuss these things. And what we will do is we will address each one of these questions, and we'll each take it in turns to define that thing within that question. That sounds great. So, here we go. Your hobby, your painting your model, highlight of the year. And I'm going to hand straight over to Alistair. What was your hobby painting or modelling highlight of this very year, which is 2023?
My hobby highlight was definitely painting up a Warmaster Titan for Titanicus. I got it finished by the end of February for that painting competition I mentioned, and it was a huge amount of work. I painted my Titans in tiger stripes, so it's pretty spectacular. I think lots of people seem to like it, and I like it, but there's so much trim on that thing. Gosh, it's very big, and it's got a lot of tiny little trim. So it was worth it, but it was a long and hard journey.
It is heckin' excellent. It is on your Instagram.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is.
Awesome. Yes, I've been feeling the trim. I've been building my first Warlord Titan, and that feels like a lot of trim. And I haven't even started painting it yet. I've only just started clipping off the armor panels, so I can't imagine what a Warmaster's like.
Yes, it's similar, I think. Yeah, but there's definitely like better or worse ways to do it. I'm definitely still learning myself.
What was the better way of doing it, or the way which you would recommend?
So what I did, which did work pretty well, was to take off all the panels and lay them out on a piece of cardboard in sort of like a flattened out shape of what the Titan would be wearing them in, which for me was very important so that I could make my tiger stripes line up between panels correctly, but also it makes it easier to just do any sort of fades or freehand you want to do before having to try and do them separately or on the... Don't do this while they're on the sprue, which I've done, and I don't do this one anymore because I did it on my Reaver and then I painted all the stripes the wrong way around and then I had to redo all of them.
Oh no.
But that was a long time ago.
That sounds like a hobby lowlife.
No, that was like years ago. That's why I don't do it anymore.
Okay. Perfect. Right. Awesome. Good to know. And JD, what was your highlight of the year from a painting and modelling perspective?
I still can't pick between the two that I've written down.
I think you can say both.
So I did the two like big models that I did this year were a Night Crusader for 40k and Star Drake for my Stormcast. I think in terms of like the amount of effort I put in, the Star Drake probably wins it because I spent like 3 days staying up until 4 a.m. glazing wings to do like the Starfield pattern on the wings. And I'm very pleased that I did that, but also I've got no intention of ever doing it again. But I do love my Night Crusader a lot. Mostly because it's the most effort I've ever put into basing, in the sense that I put some barbed wire on the base and made it look like the knight was standing on it and squashing it. But yeah, I think the Star Drake wins it out, just because it's a nice centerpiece to my Stormcast army. Whereas my knight is sort of, especially now that I've picked up more knights, it's sort of one knight among others at this point. But yeah, the Star Drake wins it, I think. I only intended on getting that one knight to go with my Imperial Guard as like a big centerpiece. But then I enjoyed painting it so much because I painted it start to finish in maybe 2 days. This was when I was a student, to be fair. But I enjoyed painting it so much that I then thought, oh, I could do an army of these. And then that sort of not quite culminated, but came close to culminating at the last event we went to, James, because we played a game of 40k with my knights.
Indeed we did. Maybe more on that a little later. I don't think it's going to be my hobby highlight, smashing a load of black knights, but it was quite fun. So
what was your hobby highlight?
My hobby highlight, I created a massive city board which was vertical, and it turned into basically a massive project, which kind of grew over time, but it was incredibly satisfying to finish it. So it was meant to be. So as subscribers to the feed know that there are 5 episodes of us waffling about this, but from a hobby perspective, I learned just a shit ton about slapping together balsa wood and mount board to create just a big vertical city, and have the feeling of like them all tumbling in on each other and things. And that was, I really enjoyed it. Like many happy hours just sat in my garage, just cutting up bits of balsa wood and then making a little wonky house and then making a bit of a platform. And once I got into the flow of doing it, it was just like, oh, I can't stop doing this now. And then I had to, cause I had to finish it. And even painting it was like actually quite fun. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Like model wise, like individual models, I can't pick one out particularly well. Like I did a lot of little conversions and stuff, but it was just the terrain hogging, which I did this year, that really just, well, burnt me out for the rest of the year where I didn't do anything. So that was probably it for me. Yeah.
And you can't argue with the results, because it is one of the most spectacular bits of terrain I've ever seen.
It is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And I love that I did it. I also really realised that I should do more with it, because basically I took it to the event, which we ran, blah, blah, blah. See episodes for more details. But it's like, oh, should I just take this to one of our rollouts or like one of our meetups just so that we can play on it? And then I was just like, oh no, but then I've got to get it in the car and that's a faff. And oh no, so it's just been sitting up in my garage getting dusty at the moment, and I don't want that to be its fate. So I think the only option is to either run another event or just start bringing it around and saying, look at my city. Do you want to play on my city?
I'll just invite more people around to your flat to play.
I hate to make your existing huge project into a bigger project, but could you cut it into several sections that you could mount on rails, and then you could fit it more easily into a car and reassemble it in different formations?
It's a bold suggestion, and I'm going to say no. It's not built in a way that will do that. If I'd thought about it while I was building it, probably.
So just take a circular saw and cut it into 3 pieces and then fix it afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, it is just made of two blackboards strapped together and cheap canvas board on the bottom, so it would easily come apart, I'm sure. Right, anyway, enough about that and enough of me waffling on. What is... let's start with Alistair last time. Let's start with Alistair again. What was your game or event highlight of the year? This is like games which actually came out or like events which you went to.
Well, I haven't actually managed to play as much this year as I'd like to, but I played to beginning, played lots of games at the beginning of 10th. I really like the game system. I think it's going to go well, especially as more codex has come out. But I think my event of the year has got to be the sort of greater release of Legions Imperialis back again, or Epic back again in the form of Imperialis, I suppose, to be more accurate. I love tiny things in Warhammer. As previously said, I just painted a huge Titan for Titanicus, and any game that lets me use my Titans more and let me drive tiny tanks around making brum brum pew pew noises is good.
I am still waiting for my Legion Imperialist box to arrive. I feel it is the most... If there was a question which is like, what is the most cursed release of the year? It definitely has to be Legions Imperialist.
Yes, and they certainly struggled getting it out. Clearly, they, despite their best efforts, some things went terribly wrong. But I have... Yeah, people have it. I have my copy.
Yep.
It's very nice models.
JD, what is your event slash... game highlight of the year?
It'd have to be... I can't pick one of them, but it'd have to be our community events that we did this year. There was three that I went to. There might have been one that I did. I didn't go to your event, James, even though I wanted to. Yeah, because it's great, because you just get to hang out with your pals and play Warhammer, and it's brilliant. But it's good. It was a good opportunity to play other stuff as well. I mean, so the most recent one just gone that we went to in Birmingham, I got to play Team Yankee with fellow pod host Pete, and that was brilliant because it turns out it's a really good game. Apparently, the World War II version of it is better, Flames of War, but I'm not going to do that probably. Yeah, getting to, again, the compulsion to push around tiny tanks, except in this case it was tiny Swedish S-tanks rather than tiny Kratos assault tanks. And also less tiny because they're 15 mil. But yeah, those events are always a good time. And yeah, all three of them that I went to, I really enjoyed. They were some of my best weekends of the year, if not the best weekends of the year for me.
Yeah, I agree. They're always... lovely to just go up and hang out with people. Like, I really actually don't care about as many games as possible or like squeezing them all in and things. Some people do, and some people like it's their only chance to play a lot of games, so they go all in on it. But I'm happy just to mooch around and just talk to people and just hang out. It's very nice. So
yeah, I mean, each one I think I've managed to get four games in over the course of the weekend, whereas there's some people who get in more than that. But to me, it's then I like to spend a bit of time mooching around whatever hobby shop we're in, looking at stuff and spending money that I shouldn't be spending. And yeah, just catching up with people that I don't get to see that often. Like, you know, you live at the opposite end of the country to me. So it's always nice to see you at these events and, you know, Rich and Pete and everybody else from the podcast and beyond.
Indeed, indeed. And if you do want to join our Discord community, it is linked on tinyplasticpeople.com. If you, dear listener, are feeling incredibly envious, you can join us on one of our escapades, maybe. But no, stay out. No, they're perfect and great wherever they are. I think the only thing that gets in the way, really, other than, obviously, Alistair being thousands of miles away, is, like, just the constant... going up of hotel costs. It's so bloody expensive to just go and play some games with someone in the UK. I think my game highlight, I was thinking about to the beginning of the year and how much fun I actually had with boarding actions. I did waffle on earlier in the podcast earlier this year about like how good it was, but at the end of 9th edition, 40k had basically become a massive shit show, and I hated it. And then they came out with boarding actions, and it was just a great way to just get the game scaled back to something which was genuinely fun. That helped a lot. And yeah, so for the first like half of the year, just painting up the boarding action set, knowing that that was enough to like play with, and like you only needed roughly like 500 points or ish of your army to play, then it was just like a great little game mode, which was a really nice way to send ninth off in not a big mess, in a nice mess. It was a bit messy. It was still like ninth edition rules, and now we've been blessed with 10th edition, which is obviously a lot better. And actually, I haven't played boarding actions in 10th at the moment, because I feel like Combat Patrol kind of took that model a little bit and said, oh, well, you know, you want a small game, play this. But yeah, it was great being able to trot out the terrain at a few of our early rumros and play a lot of it, really. I got really good use out of that terrain, I feel like, which is also rare for like anyone who makes terrain. You realize that, oh, well, you need to use this at some point. And yeah, it's good. It was good. It was great. So yeah, obviously playing it with your friends and stuff is fun. Oh, the four player games, I should say, were ridiculous. Just like having a smash of Terminators into the middle of a board with four people. That was fun. That's probably some of the best 40k I played in ages. Moving on, we're going to go into our release of the year. And I realise that we've all chosen Games Workshop things. I don't know if there's anything non-GW which anyone wanted to talk about at this point. Did anything other than a Games Workshop things come out this year?
Certainly, Malifaux has been rolling along quite happily. I didn't manage to play any Malifaux this year, though I do still like the game. It's just gotten a bit complicated, I think. It's suffering a bit from end of what feels like end of edition bloat. There is just so much to know, which makes it very hard to sort of pick up and play a game without having to do a massive amount of research ahead of time as to what even your own options are.
And bold of anyone to not say Baldur's Gate 3, even though that's a video game. I mean, I believe that just took all the other...
Don't let me turn this into a Baldur's Gate podcast, because I will. Team Yankee had a couple of faction releases, and that's part of the reason I got back into it, is because rather than doing problematic... from the problematic Oil War expansion, I was able to start an army of Swedes, because they brought out Nordic forces this year. And then also they brought out a new NATO book that sort of unifies a bunch of smaller factions in Team Yankee, and sort of updates them a bit. So like the French and the Dutch and I think Belgium and Anzacs and so on were folded back into the game in a new sort of way. I think I'm not fully caught up on it, but I know that Rich has started a Dutch army.
I've just recalled that I got fully into, as we've also talked about before, Blades in the Dark alongside JD. Was that this year that we started playing?
I genuinely don't know, actually. I think it might have been either very early this year or very late last year. I think very early this year.
By the way, that had really shaped my tastes in like TTRPGs for the whole year. Anytime I got to play something, I was just immediately either comparing it to Blades in the Dark, wishing it was Blades in the Dark, or yeah, that's about it, really.
Oh, kind of same.
It's like I got to play a bit of D&D again for I can't remember when it was, but I was playing some D&D and I was just like, oh, I could be playing Blades in the Dark right now, and this would be much better.
And you got to play some Cyberpunk as well.
That was very good as well. But I feel that we just kind of played that a bit like how we play Blaze in the Dark.
Yeah.
So, All right, anyway, okay, so on to our, I guess these are our GW releases of the year, and I'm going to nominate JD first. What was your favourite thing that came out this year?
So, again, I've decided to split the difference a little bit here and be a bit of a fence sitter. So I've got a range and a single model, right? So my range is Cities of Sigmar, because the new stuff is fucking cool.
Yes.
And I've got a bunch of it sitting in boxes in my cupboard, waiting for when I've got the energy to, like, paint a whole new army. Yeah, because it's just all so good. Like, the cannons and the individual weird little guys and, oh, just brilliant. And all the little mascots and everything.
The little griffin. What are they called? The little griffin-y things that Gargoylians.
Gargoylians, yes. That's it, yes. Oh, man, they're so good. And, like, the big centrepiece, you know, Talia Vedra, the lady riding a cool manticore. Very, very, very good. It's a very good reimagining and sort of what that range can be and what that army can be.
Yeah.
I love it. For single model, it's got to be Ionis Cryptborn, the new Stormcast Relictor riding a dragon, because that model has some very good, like, it's very dynamic in a way that some of the other dragons kind of aren't, even though they're flying. I do like the new, the Stormcast dragons, the Stormdrake Guard. I've got four of them. But there's something about, like, the sort of almost like climbing down from its perch sort of energy to the Ionis Cryptborn model that is just, it does something to me.
Nice, nice. All right. Yeah, I just bloody love the Cities of Sigmar. If I had the bandwidth to even consider like another AOS army which can sit and not get painted in my drawers, that's definitely one. I did pick up some. I turned them into Skitarii, but of course I was always what I was going to do.
What a shock.
Yeah.
Tale of Aldous
fill
time.
In your TPP bingo.
James turns someone into a robot.
All right, Alistair, what was your release of the year?
I think I'm going to pick the new Commander Farsight model. It's rad as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just cool how they've come up with a sort of, like, definitely a version of the Crisis Commander suit, which is sort of even more advanced than what they had before. It's a great glow-up of his previous model. And I think I'll just call out how cool it is that, like, even though it's got a great default pose, you can fully pose it yourself, which it means I've seen some really, like, cool reposings done, and I think I'll do one myself when I build mine. And I'll also just mention that there was a Beasts of Chaos released this year, and it was a new Beast Lord, and that was also a really nice update of a really old classic model.
Is that a single model that came out for Beasts of Chaos?
Look, we're happy with what we get.
You got to... Yeah. Hey, I got a guy on stilts this year, so you're lucky.
I love guy on stilts.
guy on stilts is great.
I realise everyone was just having opinions about this little stilt guy. He's great,
incorrect opinions. But
it is amusing. that leads me on to myself, and I'm just going to go with the lion, good old Primarch. Bit of a basic bitch take, I think, from me, but it absolutely rules this model. Like, I very rarely will go out and buy something just to paint it these days, just because I know that that's a really unhealthy thing, because that's how you fill your drawers with just stuff which you bought just to paint. And to tell myself that I didn't buy it just to paint it, I then bought, like, a load of other Space Marines to kit bash into redeemed Fallen Dark Angels to go alongside the Lion. And that's been, like, a fun little side project, which I've just had on my desk. But the model itself, like, it's so good the way it goes together, the way, like, all the head options and, like, the way it can be built in sub-assemblies, and then when you put it together, it hides nearly every seam of it being in sub-assemblies. It's just a, like, amazing amazing model, really. I just think it's great. I'm looking at it now just thinking, shit, this is a really cool model. So
I like the Lion a lot. I will cop to being somebody who, when it was rumored that the Lion was going to come back, I was very sort of, you know, fuck that, don't bring the Lion back. The Lion's literally the most boring Primarch, you know, and so on. Then they brought the model, they showed the model, and I was like, oh, actually, that's really cool. And then when the Lion came out, they brought out also the Lion Son of the Forest, the novel. And I picked it up because I had an Audible credit, so I picked up the audiobook and just listened to it while I was just hanging out doing stuff. And it was really cool, and it really sold me on why the Lion is cool. And now I'm sort of, I'm way more into it.
I also listened to the book, and it basically solidified my, I think I'm going to buy that model too. I'm definitely going to buy that. And I just love that book from, like, it's kind of like getting the gang back together sort of for one big job sort of thing. But Space Marines, which is always fun. And Mike Brooks is always like a fun author as well. So that is pretty much 2023 wraps up, but there's no such thing as a wrap up without considering what it is you might be even attempting in 2024, the year which is now rushing into view. So let's start again with JD. JD, what do you think you're going to be up to in the next year of your hobby life?
Hopefully quite a lot. So I've got the boarding actions terrain I picked up recently, all the walls and doors and things, and I want to try and get that painted so I can play kill team and boarding actions with it. I've got my Cities of Sigmar stuff that I mentioned earlier is all in a cupboard. I want to get that done, and maybe start a Sylvaneth army as well, because turns out I really like Sylvaneth, and I want to do like a Cherry Blossom. I know it's been done, but you know,
it always looks good though.
It's been done because it looks good.
definitely want to do more kill team as well, because I love kill team. Kill team's the best. I want to play more of it. But I think the main thing actually that I need to priority one is get my Stormcast fully painted to 5,000 points.
5,000.
Because we've got a plan. Me and my pal Ryan have a plan where we're going to do, perhaps it's folly, and many people have told me that it is folly, but we are going to do a 5,000 point narrative game of Sigmar with my 5,000 points of Stormcast versus 5,000 points of Nighthorn.
That sounds so good.
And we're coming up, we're writing a custom battle plan for it and everything. We're going to do some custom terrain pieces for it. Maybe we'll write something for the website or something, but it's definitely going to be something we want to share. So yeah, keep an eye out for that at some point. Awesome. Hopefully.
That's cool. Yes. Alistair, how about you? What have you got planned?
I just want to paint more stuff, to be honest. As I said, I painted too hard on too few things, and I really missed out. In 2022, I painted a lot of individual models and just bulked up my armies, and I want to get back there, just painting up more stuff. I want to fill out my tower to 2,000 points. I've got a plan and some prototypes for Imperial Knights / Chaos Knights. They're going to be weird, and I want to get those built up. And then I just want to get myself into some games. I don't need to just get out there and start playing more games. Kill Team especially. That game's good.
Game is good. It's very fun.
I've been saying it since it came out.
Bashing the table.
Yeah, but I had to verify personally.
Trust but verify.
Onto my plans. Like we've been talking about in Legion Imperialis, I'm intending on painting some Titans and whatever comes in the box that takes my fancy. Really, that seems to be top of this. I'm just really taken by quite small games at the moment. And while I know that the recommended size for Legion Imperialis is like 3,000 points, it looks like if you start including Titans and stop giving a toot about what their army list builder and allies list tells you, that that's not actually that hard to get to. Or playing a small game actually looks quite fun as well. It looks quite speedy and lethal, and that's kind of what I want from games, is speedy, fun, little things, etc. And yeah, I want to just get painting some more things. Like, I want to finish the lion. Obviously, he's on my desk and in a half-finished state, and I want to get things off that and onto the table, hopefully. So that's kind of my goal. Other than that, like, myself and Drew have spoken about what we do next after our ridiculous narrative event. No firm plans, but there's definitely some things being exchanged in the form of ideas. And could we do this? That sounds fun. Or should we do this? And there's always the temptation there to just go, well, we went pretty big last time. What if we went bigger? But also, I do need to not spend as much money. So save money is also on my list of things to do. So maybe it will be just painting what I got and using what I got to have fun, because we've all got lots of things hanging around.
Let me throw out a random idea into the void and see if it sticks anywhere. What if instead of painting more things bigger, you painted some things smaller and played an 8mm game or narrative thing? Plus, I want to see what happens when James starts making small-scale terrain.
See, this is actually a thing which I was thinking about. You've set me off now. Sorry. I'm going to talk more. Like, I feel that 3D printing and stuff really comes into its own when it's like about 8mm to like 12mm sort of size, like those little buildings and stuff. Like, you could do amazing things by just sitting there, like getting all your STLs and like building all your buildings and then wrecking them up and having all your different like full-scale city sort of devastation. Whereas when people 3D print like 28mm terrain, like, it has to be of like almost such a clarity that you almost, or I personally kind of want almost like a bit of shonkiness in there. Like, you want to look at it and say, hey, someone built that. Like, you want to see the hand of the artist in it, I guess. But when it's like 8mm or smaller, or like epic scale or whatever it is, like, I feel like it has to just look really good. But maybe that's just me. And maybe that's just a thought which has just entered my head and is now escaping quickly.
Maybe I'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. Yeah. I also thought of, I was thinking about the idea of just like, what if you took all the Space Marines from Legion Imperialis and just said, well, why don't we just play very small 10th edition with these and make a tiny little briefcase that can be your little game of 40k. Anyway, print little whippy sticks, everything will be great. All right, anyway.
Controversial.
You just jab them at people, it'll be great. Anyway, sweet. All right, let's wrap this up and hear the sleigh bells for the year to wrap up. And yes, been lovely podcasting with you both this year. And also to the listeners as well. So as we usually do a little sign off at the end of each episode, we'll probably do that. But also, Alistair and JD, where can people find you? Alistair first.
I'm on Instagram at Painting Armory.
Hell yeah. JD.
I'm also on Instagram as JD.paints.
Lovely. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Alone Music UK, I believe, .bluesky.whatever it is. So you can find me on there. It's fine. And I'm on Instagram. Whatever. It's all good. I'm sure you can find us. Cool. All right. Thank you very much. And happy end of the year to you both. And take care.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. I think, in general, one of the things I feel is that I've realised this year is that we have done an awful lot of podcasts, and this was in part because of, in a very boring administrative way, we moved our pod host to a different site, and I got to see James's file capture of the file transfer happening, and we'd uploaded 62 episodes, which is a terrifying number of podcasts.
That's now, some in of those total, ones, right?
Yes. Some of those ones include the excellent sister podcast 3 and 2, by which Rich is here.
I'm stealing other people's glory. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we've we've cut the ties in the great schism of 2023. And yes, they're out there on their own now, floating around.
If you want the hot, juicy drama on why that happened, we are all still friends. It's just that I got very sick of saying, oh, I have an Age of Sigmar podcast at tournaments, and then having to say, what you need to do is you need to find tiny plastic people, and then it's some of the episodes in that feed. So now, instead, what I have to do is say, what you need to do is search for 3 and 2, except you actually have to search for 3 and 2 A Match Play Age of Sigmar podcast, or it doesn't appear very high in the list. So, you know, it's much more convenient now.
But you've got your sales pitch down, so that's good.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yes, excellent. We wish you well.
There you go. There's a niche pod band reference for you.
I didn't get it, so it's niche enough that I'm totally unaware as well.
That joke is for one person who might listen to this. Really.
No, that is always my favourite kind of joke. It's the one that is totally obscure. So, excellent. But yeah, I think hopefully, although I previously said don't trust anything we ever say, we will continue into next year podding and sort of trying to develop what we do. I think we always have a very unique kind of output due to the kind of community nature of the podcast.
Yeah, I think it's genuinely just because it's a community podcast, we get lots of voices on. It means it's quite erratic, but it means that it just is different people talking every time we release an episode. Unless it's 5 episodes, of course, of me and Drew waffling on. But other than that, it's a space to like do things like that and be a bit more experimental and like invite new people on. And yeah, and like we've got a lovely community of folk who've all got opinions, and then if someone runs out of opinions, we can just grab another person from the community, and then we'll make them spout their opinions for a bit until the opinions have recharged.
Oh, I'm glad you said recharged, because it was making us sound a bit like vampires before that we just were lurking around until we drained people of all their interest and then discarded them.
Classic energy vampire behaviour. Yeah, you sort of touched on what I was going to say there, James, which is that, the sort of number of people who want to talk and take part is really inspiring, inspirational, maybe that's the word, or just nice, warm and fuzzy. I think the thing I always think is that I would love for our output to just be more, either more regular or more voluminous, so that it being a bit irregular was sort of less potentially annoying to people. But it does feel a little bit as a team of 3 people with jobs who do the majority of the editing that in its sort of current guise, we're kind of at saturation because we've all got other stuff going on as well. So I wonder if we can like turn the screws on someone in 2024 to help us or something.
maybe
more community content, but you have to edit it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I would welcome it if someone said, hey, I just want to edit this and talk about this for a bit. I think we would just happily say yes to most things from the community, or even from outside the community, as long as you join our Discord at tinyplasticpeople.com, click on the link for Raw Models Discord. That's the second plug, by the way, if you've already played my clip. So,
and then you'll get invited to the secret Tiny Plastic People Discord.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, we don't want to make anything too easy now. So,
this is a purely organizational space, which is very rare in a hobby community. Yeah. So, all of our hobby talking happens in public.
hell yeah, that's where it's supposed to be. I mean, I also guess that the fact that social media is in a constant state of imploding doesn't make it easy to promote and be a content provider of some form in 2023. Yes. It's never been particularly easy, but I think we've got like quite a stable listenership, even if it's not the biggest thing. But that's
Like, they like what even we if do, it was, which is nice.
Yeah, even if it was for like five people, still probably would podcast because it's just an excuse to keep them skills going, you know?
Like therapy.
Yeah, it's like therapy. Oh, I love the numbers.
You love the numbers. I was supposed to have I love the numbers. Quite a lot of sort of media creators, I say media, kind of podcasters and social media creators this year about stuff at other things I've been at. And yeah, my big takeaway was that not checking the numbers is an incredibly good decision, that it puts me in a very sort of blissful state because the number might be zero.
I don't sweat think it. About the number being like 15 lower than last time and wondering what we did to upset those people. And, you know, as someone who subscribes to several podcasts, I can tell you it's just because probably those people are like obsessively listening to the entire back catalogue of something they've just discovered and they'll eventually catch up, right? So,
yeah.
Or, you know, they hate it and that's fine. If someone listens to the stuff and hates it, then I'm probably not someone we're really interested in keeping hold of. So, like, it's, you know, it's out there, it's for free, we're not trying to make money off of people, so if they don't like it, we're not going to change who we are just for sort of building a fan base as much as possible, I guess. Unless, you know, if we upset you, email us and we'll take feedback. But
I mean, there's a difference between if we upset you for a legitimate reason or we bored you to tears. That's a different thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking about our lovely contributors, perhaps now is a good time to go to a second group of contributors talking about their year in hobby. This time with me.
Question mark.
Podcast voice.
You and some other human beings. I know bring who on human the bells. Beings are, but I could pretend that I don't. So yes, yeah, bring on the bells.
Ooh. There is still time for them to drop out in the next half an hour before we actually record that segment, so let's not say any names. Hello, it's Rich here. And to continue our festive fun, I have two of our lovely, lovely contributors with me. We're going to talk about some hobby. So I am joined by Tom, a.k.a. Tom G. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
And Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Welcome, both. Yeah, I don't know what any of the other segments for this are like, other than we have a vague pod document plan. So I do not want this to just be like an interrogation of some... like topics, but we're going to just sort of talk vaguely about some highlights and things we liked and plans for next year, and we can slide some things we didn't like in there as well if you want. Just make this segment a real downer, maybe that'd be fun.
Have we got a exciting linking system between the segments this year, like sort of pretending we're all in a winter cabin or something?
There's been rumour of some canned sound effects, but we've
are
not,
there wolves again?
We've
There's
not
always
crafted
wolves.
An overarching narrative, as far as I'm aware. So if you really commit to that bit, you might seem a bit out of place. Cool. Well, let's get things going with a super, super open-ended question. I'm going to start with you, Rachel. What is your hobby highlight of the year? This is, I think, intended to be your hobby, like painting, modelling, anything else, what you've done. We also have a separate question that is game/event highlights. So,
right. I think probably for me, I started painting some Eldar this year. I did. After like threatening to do Eldar for years and years, and everyone saying do it, and then me being reluctant to actually do it, I finally got a box of Eldar Guardians and painted them up, and after deciding that I quite liked them, picked up some the Combat Patrol and painted that up. And fortunately, at that exact moment, 10th edition launched, and so I got to play with my Combat Patrol, and it's fun. So I think that's probably my main highlight, just like rediscovering my childhood love of space elves, which are good.
Super. Yeah. Years of bullying 40k players. And now suddenly.
It's because they like Space Marines, yeah.
I've heard a rumour that you might paint some Space Marines, Rachel, so.
I think whoever told you that is just pulling your leg. It's a complete myth.
Slander.
Yeah.
It's a myth up until it happens. And then it becomes a legend. I don't know how history works.
I remember being that one of the things that was always really emphasised in books when I was growing up was the difference between myths and legends.
Yeah.
Never come up since. Can't remember what the difference is now.
I remember this as well, yeah. It's a myth if it's made up, and it's a legend if it might have happened, I think, was the distinction.
Or is it the other way around?
I think, actually, like applying some critical thinking, it's a myth if it's from a foreign place like Greece, and it's a legend if it's about English people, because we're great, and we genuinely might have killed a dragon or pulled a sword out of a stone or
I thought legends were just the things that Games Workshop decided they didn't want people to buy anymore.
Ooh.
Very good.
And allowed people to have things to complain about on the internet. Oh no, it's legends, I can't use it now. It's
steering us back on topic.
No.
Inclusion, Eldar, good.
Your Eldar fucking whip, they're so good because you've done something that I don't often see people do, which is paint them metallic.
Yeah.
And kind of commit to that, like not be overly obsessed with like making sure there's this is almost going to sound like I'm going, you paint them really simply, which isn't true, but you like
that is no, that's like intentional. I wanted to paint quickly, and also like you can paint things quickly and have them look really cool and striking, and like being able to spend a total of like, I don't know, 20 minutes on the armor for each guardian meant that when I got around to painting the faces, I could spend lots of time on them and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think they came out looking really sort of alien and spooky, which is how they'd be. I'm really looking forward to picking up some more at some point.
Hell yeah. I would love to see what you do with like Aspect Warriors, because they're normally sort of established colour schemes.
Yeah, and I think, I've been thinking about that a lot, and it's like, I think my take is to be like, take the colour that they normally are and just make it metallic. Which breaks down with the Howling Banshees, because they're like sort of bone colour. I'm not sure how to go with them.
You could make them like pearlescent.
Silver?
Oh, yeah.
Like really bright silver, even,
Yeah.
Chrome.
Anyway, it's a long way
super
off.
Super pale gold?
Yeah.
Lots of options. Cool. Well, moving on, otherwise we will end up being here for 3 hours and Drew will be mad at me. Tom, how about you? Do you have a hobby highlight for this year?
Well, it's been an odd year for me because I don't think I've actually finished painting anything in the entire year. I've sort of had a bit of a year-long hobby slump. But I think the thing that is a highlight for me of a project getting going is my Necromunda terrain boards. And this, we're in this sort of strange space of podcast timing here because I have recorded a podcast in which I talk about these boards, but it hasn't been released yet. And I'm fairly certain it won't be released before this Christmas episode because we're aiming for Christmas. So for people who haven't heard that, because I'm not sure people will have, I've basically been making I've got 12 1 foot by 1 foot terrain tiles I've been making for Necromunda, which are all designed to fit together in any configurations I want to, because I got fed up of trying to set up interesting terrain boards for Necromunda because it takes so long to put the terrain out.
Yeah.
and make it so it's actually good for a Necromunda game, because it's actually quite a challenge sometimes to go, have we got enough line of sight? Have we got enough pieces of cover and stuff? So I've basically taken my big box of Necromunda terrain and attacked it with a hot glue gun, and put it onto these boards, which I'm now starting to paint. And so I'm hoping to make a good go on those early next year. But the main thing is I've actually got them glued down now, and it was just really satisfying working out how I wanted them all to be arranged and how to make them all fit together, and thinking, right, here's the story of these particular tiles and what they, and making sure they all work together. And I'm quite pleased with it as a achievement. It's one of those things I've been thinking about for a while of doing, and to actually sit down and do it is really nice. And it's and then when we next run a Necromunda campaign in my local area, I can go, hey, look, I've got all these terrain tiles.
Yeah, I like that. I think that is, if I ever like did a sort of denser board like that, that's how I'd like to do it. Just have it modular in square sections, because it's like you say, it massively shortens your setup time. I assume it makes it a lot more annoying to store.
So it's actually all right, because as part of my planning for it, I worked out how I was going to store it. So I've got a large cupboard over my washing machine, which has a large shelf in it, which is where I store most of my terrain already. And I basically measured it up and worked out, provided the tiles aren't more than a certain height, I can stack two of them on top of each other and make them fit in that cupboard. Jeez. And so it was a bit of a case of working out, these are the top layer tiles, they can be a bit more pointy. These are the bottom layer tiles, they need to be a flat enough surface that I can stack things on top of them.
Very cunning.
So it means that all of the little barriers and bulkheads you get on Necromunda terrain aren't glued on. They're going to have to be put on separately. But that's still much quicker than setting up an entire board from scratch.
Definitely. Yeah,
I think
that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a super cool project. It's like the way to do Necromunda terrain. I think there's like the local Necromunda group that I've seen playing sometimes, and they have somebody brings along this set of tiles like that, and they just sort of stick them together and make a really cool thematic board. And you have like, this is the swamp corner, or toxic waste corner, or whatever, and this is the, I don't know, it's like sort of industrial stuff corner. It's all very industrial now that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, the main trouble with it is that having made 12 of these things, I now want to make more. I've got ideas for other ones as well, and I haven't actually got space to store any more at the moment. Not in the same cupboards.
Start making them for your friends. And
yeah. Because I've joined a Facebook group, which is Necromunda Terrain Makers, and they've done things like a large bar made up of several of the hab blocks as interior rooms.
Yes.
And I also kind of want to do some just general ash wastes boards as well.
Yeah.
So it's a long-term project, but it's an interesting thing, because... And again, this is the thing I talk about in the main podcast whenever that comes out. But coming up with, if I ever do a map-based campaign for Necromunda, being able to have particular configurations for particular locations will be a sort of part of the dream there. So
nice.
So I still need to sit down and paint these things, but it should be a fun project for sort of start of next year in particular.
Sounds cool. Yeah, it's a cool project. I can see why you'd be proud of it. I look forward to seeing it when it's all painted.
And what was your hobby highlight of the year, Rich?
Thanks, Rachel, for that seamless transition. well, I mean, I'm just going to toot my own trumpet, I think.
Disgusting.
Yeah, lots of podcasts, no less. There's lots of things I'm proud of this year, but I think the thing I have to pick is getting a Golden Demon finalist pin at Warhammer Fest. I don't, like, that's been a lifelong ambition, but like certainly since I've been back in hobby and more aware of Golden Demon, like I have wanted to strive for that, and now I've done it.
And you've been wearing it on your lapel ever since?
Yeah. Yeah, just I don't remember the last time I wore a piece of clothing that would allow that, actually. I'll start wearing
lapel
it.
Lapel is...
Foldy bit on a like, suit jacket in it.
I mean, look, you can pin a thing. It's a pin, right? You can pin it to anything.
I'm obviously mortally terrified of losing that pin.
Albeit,
I'm sure you could probably buy them on eBay for like £5 or something.
I mean, I was going to say steal it from someone, but you know, that's probably the more ethical approach of buying it on eBay.
Yeah. I thought you were trying to say that stealing it was the ethical approach there.
Yes.
Well, I agree with that for some things.
Stealing is more ethical than eBay. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Get out there. Get your crowbars out. I did. I mean, we've talked about this on a pod already, I think, but I did that. The old Soulblight White King is cool. I like him. I've done some other stuff to sort of match him now, which I'm also proud of. So,
yeah.
Eventually, that will be an army, but it's taking its time and I keep getting distracted. So, painting good is hard and time consuming and only sometimes rewarding. So, painting a lot is my default. But, yeah, I'm proud of that. I'm super pleased with that. I have to think, what next now? Now I've achieved that. What do I do? Do I just.
The golden demon itself, of course.
God, doesn't bear thinking about, but I guess it has to. Two just, pins in 1 year.
Yeah, just get a bigger skeleton to paint.
A bronze trophy can be the next target, I guess. But
so when we talk next year and you're holding a Slayer sword, you go, well, that's overambitious.
That'd be fucking impressive, but... Well, I really went for it in those 4 months between recording that podcast and entering the next Golden Demon. So,
turns out the judges really like small goblins. You know, smallest model you can make.
I don't think I can paint a goblin well enough for Golden Demon.
That makes me think: are we going to see Legions Imperialis entries in the Golden Demon?
Yes, because there's now there's been for a few years a very specific small scale category anyway. Which people put old epic, but also like Titanicus and Aeronautica stuff in. So,
excellent.
I bet we see some really lovingly painted one rhino.
I mean, this is very much a tangent actually, because one of the categories they've got for next year is Necromunda, specifically Necromunda.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of that category.
Yeah,
because
I mean, not to spoil my plans for next year, but one of the things I'm considering doing is a Legion's diorama. To put in a diorama category or the small scale category. So, because painting small tank fun, I think it looks like it might be, and I'm not sure that playing with small tank is going to be fun. So, why not just paint it good? Right. How about gaming? Tom, I think, although you've not done so much painting, you've done more gaming this year. Would that be right?
I mean, I think I've not actually done much gaming outside of one very particular thing is my hobby highlight, which is the A Crown of Salt and Shadow event we ran back in June, I think it was. July?
Summer. I think it was summer. July.
It was very warm. But I was one of the sort of game runners for that, so not one of the main organisers, but very much... helping along with terrain and keeping things moving, and it was a lot of fun. Running narrative events is a great thing to do with community, and it was really nice seeing how it all came together and writing a scenario on the Sunday for the final game was quite a bit of fun, because that entirely came from working out what happened so far and how we wanted to conclude things on the day.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, I won't talk about it much because there's an entire, I mean, 5-part podcast series that has been put out about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the intro as well, actually. Peek behind the curtain, but no. And I mean, don't do your sort of participation down. You also like crafted a lot of the narrative behind it, right? So, or at least contributed to it. So
I feel quite proud of I didn't make much contribution, so I will say that, but the things I did contribute were the name and the and two of the three initial pictures on what became the concept were ones I'd suggested. So I was quite, you know, put through the powers of democracy. I felt I ended with quite a bit of influence on the original, on where the direction of the narrative was going, which I was, you know, a thing to be pleased about. Sort of my random ideas seemed to hit a chord. So I'm to blame for the fact it was pirates.
Bloody pirates.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed out on that one. What happened was I kind of like, I just couldn't think of a war band that I wanted to do. I don't know. Had this sort of motivation slump, and then it was kind of like too late to get involved. It's like, damn. But there will be more.
There will be. Yeah, that's sort of what happened to me as well. I did enough to get my name in the book as a contributor and then didn't turn up to the event or take part. So yeah, but I'm hopeful for some more in the future.
I feel we've got a general approach to things which worked really well for crowdsourcing. There's going to be things that people want to refine for the next one, I'm sure. But as a general approach to running a narrative event, it worked really well for the size of thing we wanted to do. And now that that's been sort of tried once, it becomes easy to try it again. Obviously, there was the Inc. 28 prior to the pandemic as well, but I think there were several things in Crown of Salt and Shadow which were, you know, developments on that. So it's things like this just keep iterating and keep getting better and better. So
yeah,
excited to see what we do next in that space.
Definitely. And how about you, Rachel? Do you have a big gaming highlight or event highlight?
Yeah, I think we had a meetup in this summer, although, like, thinking back to it, we had a really rainy July in this part of Scotland, so it wasn't really summer, but
very summery, was it?
No. No, but it was perfect weather for sitting inside and rolling dice, and that was sort of shortly after 10th edition had come out, so I got to play with my combat patrol and it was really fun. That was just a really great event. I love these meetups where we all get together and play some games and mostly just chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When your friends are scattered across a several hundred mile circle, it's nice to get together and socialise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been to any sort of like tournaments or anything like that this year, so it's just been friend meetups. It's good.
Yeah, it's nice to game with your friends, it turns out.
Did you do any gaming with your friends, Rich?
Mm.
What events did you do?
In terms of highlights, I went to Warhammer Fest with friend of show Peter and lots of other people, but you know, we sort of travelled together. That was good. That was fun. The event itself, actually, like, I have sent them lots of feedback on it. So, you know, we don't need to relitigate, was Warhammer Fest good? You can just watch some terribly titled YouTube video. But, like, the participation was fun. Gaming-wise, I did a really good narrative event in Walsall, the second run by the same gang of people. That was really fun. I like narrative events for AOS, it turns out. As long as the narrative's reasonably light, I'm never going to be a person that is like writing my own battle tome or anything, but or really even my own lore, I don't think. Having a vague idea of why my orcs are somewhere is kind of enough for me. But that was really fun. Lots of really passionate hobbyists. Was that it? Probably. I don't know. Like, honestly, I think my answer really is the same as Rachel. It's all of the like organized community events and sort of incidental meeting up with people that I've met through role models that are like the highlight of the year. In danger of replacing my real life friends as my good friends. I think the reality is most of them are just real life friends now that happen to talk to most on the internet. So the power of wargaming to bring people together. Nothing else super sort of jumping out though. Next year I want to try and go to more like of the sort of big AOS tournaments. I did one or two this year and I would like to do many, but it's expensive to go and do big events where you have to stay overnight, it turns out, so we'll see if it's actually feasible. How about then, like, hobby more broadly, and like things that have come out or happened this year, releases that have happened, be that models or games. The obvious thing is to think about the big list of Games Workshop releases, because they just did their Model of the Year survey, but many companies have released things this year.
There are games other companies.
It's, I hate to break it to you. Do either of you have like something that stands out as like, your absolute highlight of something that came out this year?
Oh,
big question.
There have been a lot of GW continues to put out more and more cool models.
They are quite good at it.
I'm pleased about 10th edition, if that counts.
Yeah.
That'd come out this year, right?
That did come out this year.
I was so wondering odd. If you two had just like not corrected me out of being polite.
It didn't come out this year, I'll be honest, because I was looking back at the list of things which had released this year and thinking Angron was this year?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, he was right at the start of the year, but it feels like there's a lot of things which... It feels like a year which had both a lot of stuff coming out and 10th edition being right in the centre of it. But not a lot of things necessarily picked up on my radar so much as in some years. But 10th edition definitely looks... I mean, I haven't actually played 10th edition yet. But it does seem like a good iteration on the system.
Yeah, it like sort of streamlines lots of things, and previously I hadn't really felt like there was a easy kind of way in to the game, which put me off. And I feel like the learning curve was a bit steeper, but with the launch, they like, you know, they went back to Index Hammer, and you could just look at all your rules on the app, and you could play Combat Patrol. That's a really good idea that I hope they carry over to AOS. I quite happily just play Combat Patrol for the rest of the edition or whatever, depending on how many more Eldar I paint. Like, I'm quite happy to just stick in the kiddie pool, I think.
Yeah, it is really nice actually to see a small game format specifically designed to be a small game format, because it's been a long standing challenge, I think, for Games Workshop games of how do you onboard people when the standard accepted size of a game is 2,000 points, and that's a lot of models.
Yeah, and you have all these kind of issues with playing smaller games than that, where you just trading pieces. And
Yeah.
I've done a mostly good job with Combat Patrol. And yeah.
Yeah, I hope we sort of start seeing more things released in that sort of space, you know, things which can play against Combat Patrol. I'm not confident we will, unfortunately, but I think it'd be really good, because my reflections on releases is that I think I'm I've been saying this for a few years now, I'm fairly certain, but I'm increasingly thinking that smaller scale games are more my sort of speed. So skirmish games in particular, but also I think Combat Patrol is a sort of level I'd be quite happy to do something at and go, yes, I'll just pick up a few things of this army just as a give it a go and have a small force, but not really worry about getting it a really big force.
Yeah.
So
you get it's to, nice to you see. Get, you get to taste it. You get to taste the army and the mechanics, and you're playing the game. It's just, you know, more contained.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will particularly echo the desire for that in Age of Sigmar, because I do have the Age of Sigmar rulebook. I do have an Age of Sigmar army. I have a Nighthaunt force I painted, but I haven't ever really played it, and it feels like a lot to. Although I'm familiar with the general shape of the game, because I've played Warhammer for most of my life in various shape forms, it's a lot to take in and think, right, okay, where do I start with this? And I feel that a Combat Patrol, I might be more able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And you get like this, you can sort of dip your toe in and decide that you don't like it, you don't want to go any further, then you haven't lost very much time or money.
Yeah, you haven't spent £300 on an army and starter sets and things just to find out you hate it, which is nice.
But yeah, 10th edition was probably my release highlight of the year.
Nice. I feel really weird about 10th edition because I think it's great. Genuinely the best edition in quite a while, and I really like playing it, but also I've just sort of at the moment found myself not really caring about 40k very much. So I don't know, maybe that is more like increased enthusiasm for other things rather than a decreased enthusiasm for 40k. But
I think I'm in a similar space actually, because 10th edition does seem like a really good edition. It seems like it really iterates some things. I think for me it's that I didn't feel 9th had enough lifespan in terms of a caveat in there, bit because I think that 9th did have a lot of problems, and you know, a new edition was an improvement on that. But because of 9th being very much the pandemic edition, I personally didn't play that much. So when 10th came out, I was like, oh, didn't we just have 9th just a few years ago? I mean, we did have 9th just a few years ago. And I think that having not really, as a much more casual irregular player going into a new edition, it's like, oh, actually, I didn't actually do that much with 9th. Am I going to do that much with 10th immediately? I'll just wait a little bit.
Yeah,
it's sort of where I'm coming at it from. That may not apply at all to you, but I'm sort of enthusiastic for the idea of 10th, just haven't quite got into it as much. And I didn't buy the Leviathan box set, for example.
I think that's very sensible.
Even though I do really like the models in that set.
Yeah.
But I thought, actually, I don't feel the need to buy this.
Still have a bunch of half-painted Leviathan Terminators on my desk to keep other things more exciting. He's got a big black splodge on his armour. That's not good. Oh, dear. Okay, so we've both established that Rachel's suggestion was wrong. I did. You have... sorry, Rachel, it sounded like you had something still to go on that topic.
I don't remember what it was, don't worry.
Oh, okay. Well, apologies. We can come back to it if needed.
It might not have existed, don't worry.
Maybe you just said as a reflex and it wasn't... Yep. Tom, so beyond thoughts on 10th, do you have anything else that you would class as like your release of the year or your fave thing from this year? Like, obviously, not again, doesn't have to be Games Workshop related. People are allowed to like other things.
So in terms of Games Workshop models in particular, when they had the voting for Model of the Year, the one I ended up voting for was the Warhammer Plus Vampire. Carlina von Karstein, I think it was.
It's very good.
It's a very nice model. That's the one picking out as that's a... Yeah, that that's a really nice one. And I think the other release from this year which stands out for me is the Inquisition Warband for Kill Team.
Yeah, those,
which really again, great. Very nice models, very characterful. Ones that I would be happy. Both the Vampire and the Inquisition Kill Team are models I would quite happily just pick up, just to paint and have a little fun project. And that's kind of where I'm at with my hobby at the moment. Of, I don't necessarily want to do large armies at the moment, but I'd quite happy to do a warband. I'd quite happy to do a random character. Find various narrative events to use them in, where they seem appropriate. Do conversions with them, maybe. But they're both really nice releases, and there's been all sorts of really nice things coming out of Games Workshop this year as well, which I could have added to that list. So the Cities of Sigmar, for example, are a really nice range from this year, I think. I don't feel there's a real standout single model which I think, wow, that was absolutely the best thing that I've seen this year. But there's lots of things I think, actually, I can really appreciate that. If I was doing a project adjacent to it, I could see myself doing it. So I'm thinking of things like Angron, Vashtor was this year as well. Both really nice models, which if I was in the space to do an army which could use them, I could easily see myself doing.
And Clonk.
Oh, Clonk. Yeah. What a guy.
Yeah.
Little fucker.
All hail Clonk.
He's so good.
Making this episode go along, but I feel I also want to give a bit of a call out to the board. I think boarding actions was this year, I think, wasn't it? Was that entirely this year? Or was that
the Arcs of Omen books were the end of ninth. Maybe the very first one was like the end of last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was primarily a this year thing.
Yeah, so all of the Kill Team boarding action sets and the really quite nice terrain they've got for that is all things that have come out this year. And I have one set of that terrain. I would quite like to have another set to be able to make a full 40k board style setup. It's just nice stuff and nice sort of pushing things in different directions as well. I think that's the thing that actually stands out as things Games Workshop in particular has been doing this year, of pushing release the range of things they're offering for their systems in different ways. So Kill Team boarding actions was a very, and by extension the 40k boarding actions was a very different style of game to what those games have been previously, which is good. Combat Patrol as well is a quite different offer, and just having those things is really nice to have on the menu almost.
Yeah.
So I think that's the sort of the general vibes I'm getting. It's not so much a particular release which I'm like, yeah, that's good, but I think it's just a lot of nice stuff.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
So they say. Nice.
Anything you want to call out?
There's lots of sick models this year. I think the new Iron Jaws, like the range expansion for the Iron Jaws, made that a much more compelling option to the point that I have built and painted an Iron Jaws army. So
yeah, I'm with you there. The new Ardboys are such an upgrade.
Yeah, the Ardboys are great. The Big Pig is good. The characters mm-hmm. are pretty great, like,
and it all gives this hope for Fire Slayers now.
Yes,
I'd forgot about those new Fire Slayers they released, the Warcry ones as well.
Great models, terrible AOS rules, but you know, it gives hope that, you know, they can in fact sculpt a female coded Fire Slayer.
Say it ain't so.
Paint some Fire Slayers with different skin tones as well. So, and you know, baby Magrathoths, they rule. Other things that are good this year. I'm going to shout out the Jaegerholm Kickstarter from Dark Fantastic Mills, which is possibly the hobby thing I've become the most invested in this year, actually.
Are you still trying to get other people to back it?
It's, it's finished now. Oh. So it's waiting for files now. But yeah, that it's a really nice sort of let's say sort of Nordic coastal esque but fantasy like village scenery, all designed for 3D printing by Dark Fantastic Mills, who are the people that make really nice 3D printed terrain.
Yeah.
And it's so good. You've got like options for sort of brick or wooden walls and roofs that could be like thatched or tiled or like a stretched dragon hide, which is really cool for, I think, upping the fantasy and AOSifying it a bit. So yeah, once the files arrive from that, I'm going to be going hard on printing myself an AOS board finally, because despite it being my go-to game, I don't actually have scenery for it at home. So beyond like one of the Sigmar Storm Vault things, which is not enough to actually play a game around. So,
this might be my perception from outside the 3D printing space. I don't have a 3D printer; it's not a thing I've been doing. But it felt like this over the last year or so. The amount of discussion of stuff coming out of 3D printing and available in terms of files and stuff has really felt like it's accelerated over the last year or so. Is that just a misconception on my part, or does that match your experience? Because people have obviously been 3D printing stuff for years, but it just feels like I'm more often now seeing people have gone, oh, this is a nice range of things to 3D print. And I might be completely wrong on that, but
no, I think there's an element of it, because you know, like, lots of small creators are jumping on the sort of Patreon file drop sort of format bandwagon. So there's more and more like advertising of ranges, and a lot of it's really good. Like, that's not to say that people are sculpting dross and putting it out there. It's 3D printing is a big hobby in and of itself, and I think it always has some overlap with gaming. Broadly, like, I think, yeah, like, the gaming community is maybe becoming a bit more accepting of it, and it's a bit more mainstream and less just like the freaks in the background going, I am owning GW by doing this. I have defeated GW trying to get me to spend hundreds of pounds by spending hundreds of pounds myself and exposing myself to toxic chemicals. Genius.
I think that's actually a lot of it for me, because I think this is possibly the year where I've started seeing things where 3D printing is doing things which I cannot replicate with Games Workshop, if that makes sense. Beyond the sort of you can always get 3D printed shoulder pads or whatever for your conversions. But I felt for a while a lot of the 3D printing chat was around, here is a thing which is a replacement for a GW sculpt or for whoever. Whereas now it's like, actually, I'm mostly thinking about Warmaster here. Maybe that's why I'm thinking it's on my mind, because the massive influx of Warmaster into our community discussions has probably highlighted that is a thing which 3D printing is very good for, of getting a nice set of minis for largest, you know, for things which do want to have a lot of minis on the board. And Warmaster, I think, is a thing which, obviously, it was released in like the noughties by Games Workshop, and then went away again, and it feels like that sort of game was really well supported by the sort of 3D printing ecosystem. And I look forward to seeing where it ends up going, because there's a lot of nice things coming out there and very tempting stuff.
Yeah, I think some of that is like confirmation bias, because I've been backing that Forest Dragon, who is quite prolific, for like 3 years now. But obviously our community in the last 6 months has talked a lot about Warmaster.
Hey, and I just talked about it.
Well, yeah, and some people, Rachel, have built and painted and played it. And, you know, I intend to as well. It's on my list of intent. How soon it happens, God knows. But, there's some really cool stuff. I do think it is broadening and getting more popular. Like, the ease and quality of home printers is also
going up for less and less money as well. So, like, yeah, it's progressing. I also think even stuff like with Heresy coming out, I think Games Workshop, I think, is never going to do what some people want, which is, like, sell STLs of their own designs or really, like, actively endorse printing. But, you know, Heresy is a game full of, like, people who really want to customize stuff and also lots of things that have rules but not bespoke models. So I think at, like, big Heresy events, they sort of have to turn a bit of a blind eye to the idea that people are going to have some 3D printed weapons and shoulder pads and occasional, like, torsos and stuff. And within that, probably you get the odd person turning up with, like, a full army of 3D printed jet bikes and just not noticing kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it's maybe a little bit more prolific, but I think partially with our community, I would say Warmaster and me obsessing about this Jägerholm terrain, to bring it back on topic, is like a big drive behind why we've been talking about it more. So, yeah, so I think that's probably my like exciting thing of the year. So that, even though it's not actually in my hands yet, or in my hard drive. But, yeah. So, it's the end of the year. I was rereading my review of 2022 the other day to see how much I'd lied about what my plans for this year were.
Dangerous.
Time to do it all again. So does anyone have sort of concrete plans for next year or a vibe of what you might like to happen next year in terms of sort of your hobby or your gaming or your life that influences hobby?
Who's first?
You started talking.
Oh, okay. One thing is certain, I will be painting more wood elves for Warmaster.
Hell yeah.
And I will be making some tiny, tiny 10mm terrain to play Warmaster with, because that is what my heart desires at the moment. I think beyond that, like, I obviously have a million ideas. I think I'm a little more sort of budget restricted this year and going into next year. So it's going to be a lot of sort of raiding the pile of potential rather than buying shiny new things, I think. Yeah. That's fine, because pile of potential is oppressively large.
Love a big pile of potential. Or hate a big pile of potential.
Yeah, if I do get new things, it might be Eldar or whatever the new AOS thing is in the summer, the inevitable 4th edition.
Yeah, I think that's undeniable, probably, that that's going to happen, isn't it? So.
I am potentially in quite a bit of danger depending on what they end up doing for AOS 4th edition. I really liked the stuff in the previous AOS launch box, and there's certain armies where I could easily see myself going, I really would quite like to get that box set and see what I get. My money's on Skaven, I'll be honest.
Mine too.
Yeah, I mean.
And that is... patterns.
Makes sense.
That is dangerous.
They deserve it.
Just a little rat. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Little guys dress up.
Yeah. Little fucking freaks. Gotta love them.
Yeah.
Nice. Tom, what do you have any other sort of big plans?
I mean, my main hobby goal for next year is to actually finish a project, which is probably going to be the Necromunda terrain tiles, because as mentioned at the start of this section, I haven't really finished painting a project for quite a long time. I've got some half-painted Imperial Knights, which have been half-painted for a good year and a half now, and occasionally I'll pick them up. And I think that just finishing a project will make me feel more able to finish other projects and actually sit down and do stuff. And, I mean, in terms of why I haven't finished them, a lot of it's because I haven't had my hobby space quite how I wanted it to be, I don't think. Until quite recently, I had it at the same place as my work desk. And that's not conducive to sitting down and doing a hobby, particularly when it's you're sort of quite tired. So I've now moved all my hobby stuff to a new space, which seems to work quite well. I haven't, but and it's just because I've been busy, I haven't actually done anything recently. But now I'm less busy, and particularly over the first week or so of January, I'm hoping to get a fair bit more done with that, and then branch out to doing some more war bands, maybe some individual models, sort of see where hobby fancy takes me. As I say, I think I'm in danger of AOS, whatever release that release ends up. I could see myself being drawn into the claws of the old world as well. because from the perspective of, I have a Bretonian army, I'd like to see what I could do with it now.
Yeah, if you've already got models for it, like, it's a no-brainer. I'll give it a go.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what you can do with it. You can fucking rebase every single model in it.
Yeah, I think Bretonians managed to avoid that, because I don't think the cavalry is changing their
No,
base
no,
size.
They're going up to 25 by whatever the thing is.
Everything so, is going to minimum 25 by 25, yeah. Cavalry to match with them.
Well, at least I didn't rebase them for AOS.
You could do base adapters, or you could, you know, like, worst case, like you say, you have an army, so there's a small, like, work input to have it game ready. Whereas, I think, you know, I'll cop to being vaguely interested in it, but I know it's, I mean, we've talked a lot recently about, like, the buy-in on things, and then fantasy style army is like, even for quite a small game, is just massive. So it's a huge hobby investment to be ready by comparison. So might do what some people have been doing with Warmaster and just test it out with some paper cutouts, I think, or like cut some unit squares out of foam board and push them around. I don't get any joy out of gaming like that. It's all about miniatures for me. So
I mean, I thought you were about to say test it out with Warmaster scale models.
I mean, some people do use those models to play mini Warhammer Fantasy, Hammer. So yeah, that's a feasible option. Well, what I hope you get a project finished and then are motivated.
What about you, Rich? What are your plans?
God, who knows? Talked about printing some terrain, making an AOS board. And do that. I think I will, alongside like the printing of it. It has the Kickstarter also has like a way of making modular cliffs that also require some like manual hobby as well. So I think you like print the cliff edge and then you've got to cut out a top for it and make it like blend that in with like rocks and things. So
okay, confusing, but okay.
Yeah, I think the edges are like, I guess it's more a plateau than a cliff, I guess. Like a straight-sided hill. But you make like a chain of rock face and link it up so you've got a circle or oval or whatever. And then you just trace it onto a bit of foam board and glue that into the top.
Yeah, something like flat cliffs is one where like I really don't quite understand the appeal. I don't quite understand the appeal of that part of the Kickstarter, other than that the cliffs look very nice. It would be hard to replicate that kind of cartoony style in foam. But yeah, like I've made a lot of cliffs out of foam, and it's cheap and easy.
You could make it out of a disc of foam and glue like cork bark around the outside, right? And
yeah, I mean, or you can just as good. You can just hack up the sides of the thing. It's fine.
So I think what I was getting at with that anyway was there's going to be some manual hobby to go with the stuff, like maybe making some sort of little stone dais plateau type things for buildings to stand on, give it some verticality. I would say making some scenery, but that probably means buying a mat, really. So that's definitely on my list for hopefully earlier next year, or probably just sort of throughout the year as the stuff arrives. But what else? I'm going to do Gold Demon again, assuming we get one in the UK.
Do you have a miniature in mind?
Like I mentioned, I think I'm going to try and do a little I want to do more than one thing this time. I have ideas competing, so I want to do a small scale diorama of some kind. Small, like very limited scope. Like the idea I have in my head is, I really love the like Baneblade models they released for Legions. So the idea in my head is to have like a Baneblade that has burst out of a building and like ambushed some traitor tanks of some kind, I think. But
see when you say burst out of a building, I can only think of that Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, the tank equivalent of the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's a battle cannon time. But that would give like an opportunity to obviously like paint the vehicles nicely, but also do some small rubble and scenics and stuff.
Concept. Paint the Baneblade like it's the Kool-Aid jug man. So it's got like the red liquid sloshing around inside of it. People will be very impressed.
Say it's a corn tank full of what else? I've got the kill team. Justian, I think they're called, the blind box space marines that were out this year. So I vaguely thought about like painting those very nicely as a squad entry, but that seems like a lot of effort. Otherwise, not sure. A single model of some kind. I don't know. I really want to do like a big vehicle, but I'm a bit scared. And also, like, my airbrushing skills aren't really up to it, so maybe, I don't know if that's the answer. Probably a small to medium-sized AOS model is what it'll be, like something that goes in the AOS single-figure category again. I don't think I am good enough that I should be mercenary about which category I enter to, like, get the best chance of getting a trophy. Like, I just think that's unlikely. So, you know I can get a pin in that category if I paint good. So, go hoover up some more pins, maybe. We'll see.
Showing up with all these medals on your
I should stop wearing jacket. Braces. Yeah. And just pinning all my pins all around. I have my minimum 15 pieces of personal flair. More like basic hobby-wise. I don't know, I've got lots of little AOS projects, mainly AOS projects and some 40k that I want to finish that are, like, endless. My Soul Blight, I really want to make a dent in. I would like to take them to some events maybe in, like, the second half of the year, so I need to just get into a routine of doing something for them every now and then. I can cop here. This can be the first place that I publicly acknowledge that I have asked for the Flesh Eater Corps army box for Christmas, so it's not guaranteed that it might happen.
Still coming from a mile away.
Oh, they're so good.
They are very good.
They're so good. I in classic me style, I found an Abhorrent Archregent in my cupboard a few weeks ago. So I'm painting him up in a scheme, and if I don't like it, I probably won't do them, because this is the only scheme that's really occurred to me. And if I do like it, I might do some, but, you know, like, they're not a... They look fun. I really like their lore. I really love the new models. I'm not, like, desperate to paint them and have a full army really quickly, so, like, I don't think they're going to displace anything massively in, like, my priority, but...
Yeah, I was going to say earlier that when you were talking about the Oryks, I can't remember what word it was you used, but it was about the things being added to the range and really refreshing the range a bit. That's a really good word you used. I can't remember what it was, but
expansion.
That's not expansion, no. But
embiggening.
No. I can't remember. It was something about the vibe of it, but. But that's how I feel about Flesh Eater Corps. It's like, oh, actually, that makes it really quite a tempting army now. Having not been a... It's sort of, previously, things like, oh, yeah, that's a range. But it doesn't do anything for me. And now it's like, oh, actually, there are models in that range which do something for me. I think that's the thing that I feel quite a lot of ranges have had that this year of going, okay, I can see where they're going now with that. And that's the sort of almost the bread and butter of a range is improving a lot.
There is too much potential. I could do almost any army project on Games Workshop shelves. I could walk into Games Workshop and be like, yeah, I'm going to do World Eaters. And it's really fucking dangerous. I've tried to this year, and I think mostly succeeded in stopping most of my like emotional buying, where I just buy something because I'm sad or bored or like overexcited, which is like, you know, the whole gamut of moods. It's not good. Or at least, you know, where I've done that to be like buying something that's useful for hobby rather than like, or the project I have, rather than being like, yeah, I will buy a start collecting box for another different faction as a little treat. Because we've got things like energy bills to pay for. Single tier from the eye.
Yeah, I very much feel there are very few Games Workshop ranges now where I couldn't see myself thinking maybe that's an army I could go with. I think Flesh Eater Courts were probably one of the ones I'd previously have said I couldn't really see myself doing a Flesh Eater Courts army with the current range, whereas with the stuff they've recently previewing, it's like, oh no.
Really good. Assurance, an absolute banger. Yeah. All-time great model. Yeah. Can't wait to see it in person. The only other thing very quickly is that next year I am planning to run my first event. I'm going to run an Age of Sigmar tournament locally, so hopefully that will go well. So far I have been telling people about it for 8 weeks and have not finished writing pack yet, so normally this is event in 2 months.
I hope it goes really well. It's like something I think I'd quite like to do at some point, is try to run an event of some sort. So I am watching with interest.
Nice. Okay, cool. Fundamentally just want more people to play AOS with, so if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to have to drum it up. And if the sacrifice is I cannot win the local event, which let's face it was unlikely anyway, it's fine. Yeah, I should really do that this week. Anyway, that's just me planning my diary now. We should probably wrap it up there because we had a really good chat, but we have to slot this into an episode for Lots of Other People, so...
No, they're not allowed to say.
Yeah, really. They don't matter as much as us.
Fuck them.
No.
That's what I say about all the other contributors. Fuck them.
That's what this time of year is all about, right? Us.
Self-aggrandization. Do either of you have anything, any sort of final notes before we do all the usual wrap-up admin?
I don't know.
No?
I hope everyone's 2024 is a good one, with lots of lovely hobby and games and other good things.
What a nice message to end.
I know.
Oh, she's good.
I thought I'd better drag it back from saying that everyone else didn't matter.
They don't matter, but I hope they are well regardless.
They will think they matter because we edit out the bits where we say they don't matter and only include the bits where they say they do matter.
Made this an editing nightmare by adding that now. Cool. Social medias we should probably do if we want to. Rachel, do you want people to find you online? And if so, where can they find you online?
So I kind of finally gave up on the artist formerly known as Twitter. So I guess you can find me on Instagram at Rachel Nersha, RachelNerta.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Cool. How about you, Tom?
You can find me on Instagram as Respectable Geek, though I haven't posted there in a long time because I haven't finished anything. But maybe I will. Who knows?
You can post works in progress.
That's how you get likes on Instagram, I think. Posting
works. Yeah, maybe I should just post a round of my projects.
Do it.
I just post stories of my cat. That's all I use Instagram for.
Yeah.
Thirst trap selfies and stories of the cat.
Thank you for your service.
You can find me having just given that incredible advert for my Instagram, you can find me on Instagram at RJ Nutter. You can find me on Twitter while it lives. Every time it's like, oh, while it's alive, at Rich Nutter. Rich Nutter, that's it. And on Blue Sky at Rich N. They're all different. This is terrible. Or you can find any of us under our various usernames at the lovely, lovely Discord server Role Models, which you can get to by going to discord.gg/role models. Come join us, as long as you're not a prick. Which you're probably not if you're listening to this. Cool. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good year, everyone.
Excellent. That was some good chat. Or maybe it wasn't. Who can tell? Well, me or James when we're doing the edit. But at this time, let's just assume it's some good chat.
I guarantee it was good chat.
You guarantee it? Okay, excellent.
Yep. Oh, well, there's an endorsement.
Seal of approval. Yeah.
You have my seal of approval.
So to head towards the end on a note that I said that we should put no faith into is do anyone have plan for year next?
I has plan for year next. Does one have plan for year next?
In a sort of tiny plastic people shape anyway. Other plans you can address elsewhere.
I mean, everything would be like rampant speculation about what actually happens to the website. One thing which I have been personally thinking about is that since we have now moved our pod host provider to a more traditional pod place, I'm not going to name it. I'm not going to give them a thing. They can give us ad revenue for us to name it. Now that's happened, we can actually free up a lot of the space on the website for said articles if we so choose. Because what was happening was that our articles were going up as blogs on the website, which meant that if you posted something interesting, it would immediately be drowned out by 3 podcast episodes quite quickly. So,
yeah.
And I would like to make it just a better reading experience for people who do choose to read it, and then make sure that people can find the podcast, obviously, and see the feeds and stuff like that, but also make sure that if someone does spend the time writing a lovely article for us, I know we've got a couple in the tank, then that would be good and proper of us to make sure that people can actually read it on their devices. So that's one thing which I would like to do. I don't really think that's a whole redesign of the website, but it might be just poking it around a little bit and having a bit of a play at some point. No promises when.
I would quite like to poke around and redesign the podcast a bit as well. That's my goal, but it's always my goal.
Does that mean you're going to redesign the people?
No, that would be against the community spirit, I feel.
Drew comes back.
We're now called average resin people.
Chops an arm off someone and sticks it on someone else. Look, you've got Rouge's arm.
I think I always feel very conscious that in a format we are aping an ape of an ape. Is it ape of an ape? It's
a tooth for a tooth.
A tooth for a tooth. Well, inherently we're our format has always been closer to Miniatures Monthly than I've always liked, a defunct podcast that brought us all together in the first place, which also then Miniatures Monthly sort of always aimed Crate and Crowbar.
That's because Crate and Crowbar was from the Crate of Crowbar.
Yeah, was from the, well, aped as in reformatted from the Crate and Crowbar, and then was originally based on the PC Gamer podcast. So I feel like, I don't know.
Are you trying to go through our origin story?
Yes, it is indeed our origin story.
I love being able to tell people that I'm like a 5 times descendant of the PC Gamer podcast, despite never having had any professional affiliation with it. That's incredible.
Yeah. Put it on your CV.
I don't know. I always like to meddle with stuff, so I think that might be the excuse, is that I want to change things, but I do always feel that we are copying a no longer produced podcast. So
not to toot my own horn too much, but I guess 3 and 2 is sort of trying to slide into that space of being the Minis Monthly successor pod, including a crossover host in Matthew. So,
but Matthew killed.
Well, yeah, Matthew is the pod killer, apparently, but not for us so far. So maybe, yes, it makes sense to forge our own identity as TPP, but I do love, like, broadly the format and the ability to just sort of turn up and go, want to talk about this? And
yeah, I don't think I'd ever want to move away from this. I always potentially call it a kind of magazine podcast.
Yeah, it's like a feature section, right?
Yeah, particularly when I'm trying to explain to people why they should listen and just say, it's like a magazine, which is why you might hate it 1 week and be fine the next.
It's also over 2 years old now and basically has been that format the whole time, so it's probably a totally reasonable time to look at it and shuffle it a bit, give something else a go. There's nothing that stops you trying a couple of episodes of something different and then going back to it, is there? It's only us talking. We're not beholden to a publisher or anything. So,
Not until we become.
Soon. We'll go the way of the Bugle presents. And be like the Times presents Tiny Plastic People. That'll be hateful, wouldn't it?
Maybe shudder. I felt a little bit sick.
I think we should get PC Gaming to sponsor us to be the Tiny Plastic People miniature podcast as us to go full circle.
How many glowing keyboards we could receive in sponsorship.
My goodness.
I'm sure there's a lot of money in physical PC gaming journalism these days. So.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Gaming journalism, the big earner.
I start watching things on the internet and there we go, end of statement. Now, I start watching things on the internet and I always think it'll have a similar
audience.
You got
radicalised.
I have got radicalised by the internet's existence. Like, I watch stuff about kind of like crocheting and things, and then I'm like, this must have similar viewership to like miniatures, and then it's like, no, it's like a million viewers for this random TikToker and stuff.
And then before you know it, Drew's there on that crochet YouTube posting Pepe the Frog in the comments.
I only pay attention for the drama anyway. That's how I like media that isn't going to upset me, because I'm never going to care what crochet drama is, so it's totally safe.
Face slowly morphing into a face of horror as you realise that the tea cosy that's being crocheted has the swastika on it.
That takes four
4 hours to realise.
Inadvertent swastika crochet has been a thing. So.
Oh my god.
I wish there to be like crochet pod drama where there's a 4-hour expose of like crochet patterns being stolen by other crochet artists on
that. Is continuously what crochet pod drama is. So.
Oh my god.
I can't believe they took all of those patterns from this thing multiple times.
Yeah. Crochet that has existed for a very long time has certain limited numbers of it. Anyway, I can't afford to anger the crochet crowd. They've got millions of followers and they'll all come for me.
I'm seeing those 15 users just drop off this episode.
Yeah.
Listen to our spin-off, Tiny Metal Hooks, to find out more.
That's how we do it in a hip-hop style-y, is to try and boost our numbers. We just come for the crochet crowd. Just start beef.
Yeah, we've never started beef before, so, and intentionally started beef, so. Yeah.
Normally, you stick to your own, you know, your own medium. That we should come for 3 and 2 or something, and then, you know, just boost our numbers through that. But now I think we should just go outside and start beef with random things.
Start beef on with like an engineering journal. Take that,
yeah. IMT. Don't want to go for the crocheters because they've got needles.
That's
so
true.
They've only got airbrushes.
I think on that note, maybe let's hear me talk to some of our contributors and see whether we start any beef with anyone. Insert bells.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Insert Philly.
He's helping.
Hello. And welcome to one of our festive conversations. Joining me tonight is Tom, a.k.a. Le Swordfish. Good evening.
Good evening, Drew. How's it going?
Yeah, all right. Feeling the sort of end of the year kind of stretch as work always seems to pick up at this time.
Or, yeah.
It's an excuse to get things finished. So, yeah, feeling a bit worn down from that. But, yeah, otherwise, looking forward to a bit of a break over Christmas and to do some actual painting, which I haven't done in a while. So how about yourself?
I'm doing all right. We're also fairly busy at work, but next week everybody else is off on holiday, so I get to just noodle about with whatever I want. Nobody's there to object to it.
That sounds very pleasant. Excellent. So, yeah, this is part of a sort of general chat we're having with sort of as many of our contributors as I can, or we can, I should say, seeing as this is the only one of these that I'm hosting. And then it's James and Rich who've hosted the others. And yeah, just really to sort of go through with, well, both myself and with Tom and just see what our sort of general feelings were for the year in a sort of hobby and gaming way. I mean, if you have any strong opinions on anything else in the year, I'm not going to stop you from voicing them. I might just edit them out.
I've got plenty of strong opinions on things that have happened this year, but let's not be a downer.
Well, that does sound thoroughly optimistic. Okay. In that case, let's start in for hopefully what is only going to be guaranteed as a high point and say, what was your sort of hobby, so painting, model, etc., kind of highlight for the year, would you say?
I was thinking about this, and I don't think I've got a single preferred highlight. I'm looking at the list of stuff I've done, and so this year I've done a Tau army, I've done handful of Imperial Fists and handful of Lizards, but nothing really stand out individual in there. Like last year I did Rogal Dawn and that went pretty well. I think probably what I would say is I spent a bunch of time this year converting a couple of squads of Templar Brethren for Heresy era Imperial Fists, using a lot of spare parts, using the Primaris Black Templar bits. And I'm quite proud of how they turned out. I didn't paint them very well, but they were, as kit bashes and conversions, pretty good.
All painted models are good, so...
Yeah, it was they're not terrible. And I took them to the Goonhammer Open, where they got, got congratulated by people.
That's nice.
Very proud that they're somewhere in the Goonhammer image library now. I saw a picture of them show up fighting some Emperor's Children in another Heresy event, which was nice.
Yeah, I think we've linked to that article in previous show notes, actually, because I've certainly talked about the Heresy event that Goonhammer ran.
Yes.
So, yeah, if I remember, I'll copy that across into these show notes and then people can go and find them. But if not, just go and look in a previous show that I've been on, which I think was only the last one. So, yeah, just look in the last show. We recorded number 26, and there should be a link there to photos from that event, which you can no doubt see these Templar Brethren.
Yeah. And you took your incredible Mechanicus stuff to that, right? Was that this year?
That's a good point, because I was about to say, I don't know if I have a hobby highlight for the year, but I did do the Mechanicus stuff. I did the Mechanicus stuff in a very short period of time.
It's essentially an entire sculpted, printed army within,
yes,
what, a month or so?
It was 3 months, because it was just after the event that James and I were running. I started it.
Ah, yes.
And then I was pretty much designing and printing until the last minute, far too much the last minute to be sort of anything like comfortable. So yeah, no, that's a good point. Thank you for remembering that, because I should say that is probably the my hobby highlight, which is that for the first time I've actually sat down and used skills that I've already had, because I do model for other things, but I've never done 3D modeling for hobby stuff really. So yeah, sitting down and not just, I didn't want to just copy GW's models, because I've no interest in that. And part of the reason why I was doing this is I don't actually like a lot of the Mechanicum Heresy models. Mm-hmm. I think they suffer from being quite old.
I guess a lot of them are getting on a bit, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. And in fact, even some of the ones I do like were out of stock when I needed them for the event, so I ended up having at the last minute to model them up too. So, So, it's like I say, it was trying to do a thing that looked GW style without copying GW models, which I think I did okay on.
I think that was a great job. Yeah, there's a couple of original Games Workshop models in there, right?
Yes,
or some bits, and it's definitely not, because with some big projects like that, you can absolutely tell, right? You can look at them and go, okay, well, these ones are the real ones, and these ones are the ones that you've added. But I don't think that was the case with this, right? It absolutely all looked very, very different to what existed, but still on theme and as part of a coherent whole.
Yes, yeah. So that's good, because, like I said, that was definitely the objective, setting out to do it, and it included some kit bashes of other GW models. So yeah, it was really sort of the three way cuts. There's a couple of originals. So I used the Forge World Armagers, their originals, and the Thanatar, which are all kits I like. And then for everything else, it was either a conversion or a bespoke build. So.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good to remember, because I totally had forgotten that I did that.
You've created an entire army from whole cloth, and you're like, well, I haven't really done much this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly can't remember doing very much, which is not necessarily the same as not doing much. Not something I did in January that was really exciting, but no, I don't think anything happened. I don't remember winning any Golden Demons or anything, or.
Remember that, yeah.
Probably, yes, yeah. That was good. That's good. Thank you for remembering that. Like I said, I totally had forgotten. Yeah, I don't think there was anything else. I've done a lot of painting that's stuff like this. I don't say display painting, because I don't display anything, but it's, yeah, just pushing myself to paint, which is always, I find, pleasant, as long as, yeah, it's not sort of too demanding at the end. You accept your mistakes you make as you're doing it, and it's everything's a learning experience. So
yes, you're not a big one for the fuck it, that'll do approach to painting, so I can see that that's having a good attitude to it is useful.
It's definitely a way to make painting into a not just a job, but an unfun job as that. So having a good attitude about it is, I think, very key. But I think maybe to sort of segue anyway, before we just sort of go around the houses on some hobby stuff, is did you have any particular game or event highlights of the year? And we have hinted at what my answer might be anyway already. Yeah. So, and also, is it your answer?
It is the same one, yeah. It was the Goonhammer Open Heresy event. It's an extremely clunky game, but I really do love the Heresy. I love the Heresy game. It was the version of 40K that I got into the game with originally. And that when you get somebody who is willing to dedicate as much time to it as Loop was for the running the Goonhammer event, smoothing the rough edges off and really leaning into the narrative and encouraging everyone else to lean into the narrative with such success, I think it becomes something really special, and I had a great time there. Telling narrative stories that I will hold in my head and keep in my personal conception of the lore for a long time, right? I'm very fond of the story we told of this battle down in the catacombs with Rogel Dorn and Conrad Kurtz both coming into this battle and scrapping it out over the remains of my forces as my Templar brethren sliced up a whole bunch of Terminators. That was a great time. And my chaplain getting pinned down and surrounded by a mass Terminator assault, only for Dawn in his Spartan and a group of Huskarls to come charging, presumably crashing straight through the wall of the catacombs and charge into combat to rescue him. That was great.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing you do want coming out of a sort of narrative event. I the same, thought it was a very good event, and it probably was my gaming event of the year. I haven't done that many events this year, actually. I kind of came to it from a different place to you, almost. Is that I don't like New Heresy. I miss Old Heresy, which was janky and bad in its own way, but I don't know, the new one just feels so...
It's not an entirely unequivocally good change, I'll admit, right? You know, I like the bones of it, but the flesh on top of those bones has changed in some not positive ways.
Yeah, I think overall it's worse than it was, and I'd almost fallen out. The only events I've done this year, I think, actually have been Heresy events. I think I did 3 or 4 Heresy narrative events, and one was fine. One was also, and they weren't bad, not because of the people running the events. They're just fine because it's Heresy, and it's like you're so dependent on who you end up playing.
Yeah,
and then the other one was it was a big Heresy apocalypse game, and I had the Lion on the table, and he just went ham carving through.
Yes.
Everything. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, this is fun. But in hindsight, and I also, that event, I forgot half my force. I didn't bring any of my vehicles.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah.
I left them in a box. And then you just roll up with like a fraction of your army and you're just chopping through other people's entire armies and other Primarchs.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is not a good game.
Yeah, the balance is not a strong suit.
No, no. So I definitely went into the Goonhammer Heresy event with an idea that this was going to sort of make or break Heresy for me. Not the only, it wasn't like a fixed objective, but you know, I was tired of power armor. I wanted to try Mechanicum. I wanted to play something different. So this was why I went through and did this Mechanicum army. And I just really enjoyed it, and it was really good. And like you say, it was, you know, it was telling good stories and telling engaging things, which for the most part was just a big pile of robots getting drubbed on for the entire weekend. But yeah, it never felt bad. And I suppose my only worry from this is that actually Heresy is still ass. It's just that the people who went to the Goonhammer Open are really nice people and it was really well run. So as long as that's true, then Heresy's great.
Yeah.
But we have
I'm absolutely going to try and go again next year.
Yes, definitely. If it's running again, I think I said this when I was previously speaking about it, unless it's me trying to get a ticket. Once I've got a ticket, it's amazing. Before I've got a ticket, oh, it's shit. Don't pay any attention. But yeah, once I've secured my ticket, then it's it's really good. Get yourself one. It is interesting. I mean, I've actually used my Mechanicum a couple of times since then, and they mistakenly haven't been drubbed on by people. So maybe the Heresy Open was sort of more tuned up than I was expecting, and this was why the robots were getting stamped on. But certainly when I've used them since then, they have absolutely kicked people's asses. So the only other kind of like B-list contender I had for event of the year was Deep Fried Lard in Musselburgh early, I think it was February, start of the year. And the main reason, it was a perfectly decent event, but the reason that it shines as a highlight for me is that it introduced me to Kriegsspiel games, and I really am deep in a Kriegsspiel hole these days, that it's probably the most like what I want from a war game. It's very narrative, it's very crunchy, but whilst also being rules, and not rules light, but rules invisible. So bonus points for Musselburgh Deep Fried Lard event for just introducing me to Kriegsspiel. And also being, you know, a perfectly nice event with very nice people to chat with, who were a very different crowd to what you'd expect from you know, a sort of GW style event. So
yeah,
moving on then. This is one that I really don't have an answer for.
Sure.
Was there a particular release of this year that you stands out as your, you know, the one that's on the pinnacle for you on the plinth?
I'm really into 10th edition 40K. I'm really enjoying that. I think it has my interest was dropping off very significantly in 9th edition, and I think the changes they've made to 10th and the design paradigms they have laid out for themselves are extremely positive and have got me interested again. I think it might be literally all I've played since it came out is 10th edition with my Tau, and I've had a really good time. I think it's a really positive change. It's a game I really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd forgotten that 10th edition had come out this year until I saw your note in the pod documentation. So it obviously hasn't made much of an impact with me. I have played it maybe 3 or 4 games. But yeah, I can see why it's a strong contender for people. It's a good design. A lot of good design choices, I think, in it. Yes, makes a lot of sense why you'd say that, and sort of why you'd be playing it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of structural things about 40K that you could dislike or be unenthusiastic about that it's not fixed. Right, it is still the same game with a lot of the warts on that it has been for 30 years or however long, right? But I think this version of it is much as I loved the old ones, probably better than those, right? I think this is the most solid one I've played and the most promising one I've played.
Yes, I think I would probably agree with you about that, but that's only I don't love 10th, but then 9th and 8th were not had issues, let's say. For me, like I say, I don't have an answer for this question at all. I wonder whether it should be Mad for War, which is a 17th century naval combat game. It's of Anglo-Dutch wars and things. I've never played it though, and I'm not sure if it came out this year. I think it might have come out at the end of last year, which probably means that it shouldn't get any points. Or certainly not any points in this round. And like I say, I haven't played it, so it might be awful. But I do like naval combat, and it looks like the good balance between detail and actually be playable, which is sort of what I look for in a game. So
definitely useful, yeah.
Yeah, maybe next year I can actually report back and say whether it does deserve my game of the year or event game/release of the year. The other thing I probably would say is, and this might be also leading into the YouTube thumbnail and quote part of the podcast, is that the little models for Epic, new Epic, I love the new tanks. They're really, really nice. GW have released like half a game, and I'm kind of pulling my face about it. Like,
oh yeah, hands up by your shoulders to do the big concerned shrug.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah,
broken, or not even broken, just half a game. It's so bizarre, and I can see why they've not put loads of unit rules in that they haven't released yet, because people are just going to 3D print them. And people have been playing a lot of Epic, in Heresy and things previously. So, yes, I can see the logic, but, like, there's just a handful of units you can use in the game. And there's, like, formations that you can't field. And there's, like, factions like White Scars get a bonus on their Jinx saves. And you're like, well, you can have one flyer in your force, and that's the only thing that's got a Jinx save. So enjoy being a White Scar until Sky Hunters and bikes come out. So Yeah, I accept why they've done it, you know, but it just feels so weird and preemptive. Like,
yeah,
they did Solar Rocks as the starting box, and I love the Solar Rocks stuff. I've been paying my Solar Rocks tax and things, but maybe we should have just done Marines and concentrated on getting a full Marine release out.
Yeah, potentially.
Or don't put any of the unit rules in the core book and just put them in like a pamphlet that comes in the boxes. You know, at least own the fact that there's going to have to be an expansion soon.
The Specialist Game Studio is so attached to the paper rules that are just being left in the dirt by other games, right? Like, I think 40K and AOS do a decent job of this with their apps, but one of the things I looked into near the start of the year and didn't end up getting into was the Song of Ice and Fire game. And
that's
just got an app with all the rules in it. All of them. You can just look them up. You can make your list and it's all free. And I know that is a big commitment and a big a big expensive outlay, a risk in terms of now people aren't buying the physical rulebook product that you want them to. But there is a considerable part of me that is looking at the problems that physical rulebooks are causing for this, such as points cost you get in the rulebook are out of date even when the book comes out, and thinking, well, why you got a paper book then? What are you achieving with this? It's feeling very very 2008.
Yeah, I suppose the other thing is, like, you know, even today they were to date when this podcast is being recorded, they were showing off. I don't go on Warhammer Community very often, so I don't know what else has been coming out, but they were showing new Malkador tanks.
Yes.
And I'm like, right, well, they're not in the core book.
Yes.
So we're either going to get them really soon and the rules are going to be on a PDF or in the box, or we've got another book coming straight away, either straight away after, or we're not seeing those tanks for 3 months.
Yes. Yeah. And like, there's been some serious logistical issues with the game.
Yeah, because it was supposed to come out in September, wasn't it? So that means, you know, that might explain why.
Yeah. Yes. And some of them are like unavoidable. Everybody's having logistical issues everywhere all the time. And some of them sound a little bit self-inflicted. I'm not intending to gloat at them having. If the rumors are true, very big if, I don't mean to laugh too hard at them having to reprint the rulebook, but that's like a bit of an unforced error, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, I suffer enough from bad program and bad planning with my work, so it's like I know what it's like to have to deal with shit and redo things. But
yes,
having said it now, it makes perfect sense. If we'd rather get a book early next year, that would be good time. That's 3 months off September, which is when it's supposed to come out. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. But it's like, I look at Heresy and stuff, and it's like, does GW hate me so much that, you know, bending over a table all day already knacks my back, that I have to carry around a kilo of, or several kilos of paper to play the games. Like Heresy's bad for it. Titanicus, really bad for it. I don't know if the app's a solution. I don't like apps. I don't like digital stuff. I like things I can like prod with my fingers. But
they need to figure something out, I think, because just putting it in a rule book and then not touching it for been 18. 80 what it's been about 4 years since the last Heresy FAQ. I don't think that's landing these days.
The Goonhammer Open, one of the things it did do as well was put together a rewrite pack on certain things, and I, since attending the Goonhammer, actually even before the Goonhammer Open, that's how I've been playing Heresy, just to the Goonhammer Open rules.
And
it, you know, it does make it a better game. Yeah, it's hard. Exactly. Well, this is definitely going off topic and into more usual pod territory. So, okay.
Yeah, let's skim onwards, lightly dance on to the next question. The final question is, what are your plans for next year? And for me, very generally, my 40k plans for next year are revolving around the fact that my partner is from China, from Beijing, and we are looking into moving to China when her visa is sorted out. So that will be not next year, but the middle of the year after, the middle of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a weird situation because obviously you can pack up and have shipped whatever you want, but I don't want to do that with an entire Warhammer's career worth of hat that I don't use. So
yes. Yeah,
I think that it's going to be hanging over the gaming and modeling and purchasing decisions I make for the next year. Is in 18 months, will I want to sell this or ship it across to the other side of the world? And how do I extract how do I get value out of this in whatever way I consider value, right? Like, and how do I do that in 18 months? Because... Yes. For a little while now, I've been thinking, oh, when I get a bit of money in the bank, I'd love to buy a Warhound. I'd love to buy a Warhound Titan and dedicate like a month or two to painting that, and then just have that in my metaphorically extremely large back pocket to bring out for special events and special games, and if we do Apocalypse at some point. But that doesn't really pass the test of, am I going to get value out of that in the next year and a half? Probably not, right? I think
no.
Generously 5 or 6 games, if I was really trying, and that's not going to make it up to a 500 quid value or whatever it costs now, right? So, I'm not going to do anything crazy like stop buying stuff, but just trying to apply that test to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I kind of like the epic stuff, but am I going to get an army costs worth of value out of it in the next 18 months? Probably not. Kind of like the idea of the old world and picking up some wood elves or something, but am I going to get an army's worth of value out of that in the next 18 months? Probably not. Which is probably the kind of sensible decision making I should have been doing all along, frankly. But
the 18 months and then I have to move to a different country logic, yes, is not a common one, I will say. It's an interesting one, but is this shippable?
Yeah. Yes. And am I going to get any value out of it once I'm there? Like, for example, so people absolutely do play Warhammer in Beijing. You know, it's one of the biggest cities in the world. They've got at least one of everything there. But it's an awful long way to fly an extremely large Imperial Guard. Let me try that one again. So people do absolutely play Warhammer in Beijing. It's one of the biggest cities in the world. They've got one of everything there, but am I going to get value out of shipping a heresy army over there, right? Or is that something that people don't do that much over there? I went to one Warhammer shop in Beijing just to like have a poke at it and see what it was like there. So my girlfriend found one on Chinese social media, and we drove out there on like a spare afternoon. It was run out of some guy's living room. Okay. As in like it was entirely a flat in a residential block. The lights were off in the corridor, so it was feeling extremely dodgy, but they had one of those little Warhammer logo plaques screwed to the door. So this is actually a legitimate Warhammer shop. And we went inside, and my Chinese is extremely dodgy, so my girlfriend mostly communicated with the guys who were hanging out inside playing a game, and they showed me what they were playing, which was 40K, and it showed me some stuff they thought I'd find interesting. One of the things that they thought I'd find interesting was that they had an English language copy of the Heresy rulebook, which they brought over to me like, will you please buy this? Will you please take this off our hands? And I asked...
Finally, we've been waiting for this English person to arrive.
And I asked, oh, do you play this? And, you know, my girlfriend translated that, and they looked at each other and then all shook their heads in unison. So it's maybe not taken off over there so much. At some point, I should do, like, actual serious research of this rather than just going by what one guy is saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of Heresy in Australia, which is practically next door. I mean,
yeah, that's only what, another 14 hours flight away.
Is it 14? I thought it was only 5.
It's longer than that to get to Singapore from Beijing. So,
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a geographer, but just generally, yeah, keeping an eye on that as I go forward with buying stuff and painting stuff and making decisions. I painted 200 models this year, which is about the same amount of unpainted models I've got at the moment. So ideally I'd like to cycle through all of those, right? Like everything I've got right now, either paint it or sell it. That might be an interesting goal to set up.
Yes. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be ambitious, but would really help me in not piling on too much stuff that I'm going to have to get rid of, or it's really going to help me to decide what I really want to get and what I would have to eventually either get rid of or pay to fly across the world.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for this one, for plans for the next year. The only thing I had thought about was saying that what I haven't mentioned previously and maybe should have done for the gaming highlight of the year is that James and I, amongst others, ran a narrative event in the middle of the year. And I do have plans to run something else.
Oh, yes.
But given it took us 18 months to get the last one sorted.
Maybe that won't be this year then.
Yeah, the plan for next year might be sorting the event, but not actually running it. But I've talked about this a bit to James in the other sort of section of this podcast, so I'm not going to repeat myself. But yeah, I don't really have any plans. I should say I'm going to play Epic and see if it's any good. And I should play Mad for War and see if that's any good.
I really regret not coming to the Crown of Salt and Shadows event. I think I should have. I was a bit freaked out by how everybody was doing fancy conversions, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get something like that sorted in time. And I think I should have not been a baby and turned up with something bad and been proud of it. Because that looked like a really fun event. I really feeling the it's not FOMO if it's already happened, is it?
Yeah, fear of missed out.
I'm not even afraid of it. I'm just sad.
It's just missing.
Yeah,
out.
I'm
it's
really
regular missing out.
I'm really feeling that I missed out on that one. I think another commitment for next year might be to say yes to more things like that, to go to more interesting events. I'm learning to drive, so we'll hopefully be able to get to places without it needing to be a whole palaver and leaving on Friday lunchtime to get up north or something.
Yeah, I certainly made that choice a year or two back, which was to do fewer things that are fine and try and do more things that were good, had the potential to be good. Like a lot of Warhammer World events are kind of guaranteed to be fine because they're well supported. You get to go and eat.
Yeah.
decent food. You get to be at Warhammer World. It's all nice. Have I ever done an event at Warhammer World that I would say is good? Titanicus one, that was quite good, actually. But that, again, was it was just good people. So I just don't go to Warhammer World events anymore because they're not... They're never... You know, they're always just in the middle of the road, you know, upper edge of the, middle of the road. But yeah, making that decision to go to things like, you know, deep fried lard and stuff, going to more conventions and things. It's like you're rolling the dice on it always. But when there's greater risk, there's greater potential, I think. So
dialing in on what you really enjoy.
Yeah, or trying to find what you really enjoy. Because I played 40k for years, and like all through eighth, and came back to eighth, played all through eighth, played to a lot of ninth, and then it's like I thought I liked 40k until I started playing other things, and then I was like, oh no, I like playing games, but 40k is not the thing that's making me enjoy playing, it's just playing games. Anyway, that's again by the by. Well, I think that's us done then. I was going to say, are you findable anywhere on the internet, Tom? If people want to check out your Tau,
to my great regret, I am. I don't really post Warhammer stuff online specifically, but you can find me on either Blue Sky, Twitter, or co-host at Le Swordfish. That's L-E Swordfish, all one word. That's the best place to find me, or an Instagram at LE_swordfish, which doesn't have any pictures on.
That's good. So if people can watch you to see if you what your first post is going to be. So it's a Warhound Titan in a shipping crate. People can find me at Drew_paints on Instagram, maybe on other things, but if they're on other things, it's not me. And I don't post very often either. So you can go and see if I do post anything. Apart from that, a very good Christmas to you, Tom, and a happy new year.
Yes. Have a great holiday. And I hope the new year treats you well. I hope the new year treats us all well.
That would be nice, yes. Excellent. Cheerio, everyone.
Right. Goodbye, folks.
There were some words from me and some other persons/people. I hope it was good.
I'm sure it was, true. Once again, I'm sure it was.
I sure listened to those words and I thought they were great.
Them words be totally fine. Totally fine. On what beef maybe have started, who can say? On that note, I think we're just going to sort of look to close out. Is there any final words, thoughts, morals from the year that you guys want to impart? Or
morals.
Don't be bad to each other, only be good.
Don't book a event in a hotel in July with no air conditioning.
Don't vote Tory.
Spicy. I don't disagree.
Is that a spicy take, really?
Probably not for our listenership. And if they disagree, fuck off. maybe we cut that bit out.
Tiny political people, that's our new rebranding. I did say I wanted to change up the topic a bit of the podcast, and I probably would boost listenership as well, but I wouldn't want to look at the comments ever, so we just pivot into a political talk show podcast.
You know what, I actually do want to shout out, I want to randomly shout out the discussion that you had on historical models in one of the episodes, like episode 26 or something like that.
I think it is 26. That was fun.
I didn't edit it. I know you had to record it twice, but it was just very nice to listen to it and just like go, hey, that was a good discussion. So, yeah. More of that, please.
Thanks. You. That was both me and Rich, wasn't it?
It was.
That was a fun episode.
I'm just the cop. Have a compliment for the new year. That's one on me.
Dining out on that for 6 months.
You know, James gave me a compliment 6 months ago. I'm trying, okay? I'm trying to be...
any other morals from the year? Drew, did you have anything? Because you asked the question initially.
Never assume that I ask questions because I've got a good answer. That's very dangerous.
I mean, I can't believe that you haven't come back with compliments for me.
Your new kitchen is looking nice.
Thanks. Yes, that's good. That's actually what I need.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment.
I already complimented both of you on your stupid event, so...
Oh, yeah, I'd already forgotten that. I need more. I need more validation.
More.
Next year we can buy presents for each other and send them to do a live opening on the stream.
Nice.
Which I guarantee that knowing TPP organisational skills is definitely something that would happen in a timely fashion and wouldn't just be, you know, two people unwrapping something and one person having to pretend to unwrap something because it's not arriving until the end of January. So, okay, I think that's probably it. And I'm getting increasingly tired and increasingly bad at talking. So
let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Thank you to you, our audience, for listening, all five of you. Hopefully not minus 10 if we lose 15 people off our five listeners.
Wow, we appreciate them nonetheless.
We do appreciate
them. Even if they're mathematically improbable.
Yes, we shall continue into next year. I hope everyone has a good Christmas, New Year, January start time, whatever you do over the next few days, weeks, whenever we get this out from. And thanks for joining us. Check back in on tinyplasticpeople.com. You can drop us messages at, I don't remember the email address, James. Is it?
thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com.
Thank you, Jake. And in general, you can find us places where podcasts are.
At Tiny Plastic Pals in all the social medias, right?
All social medias.
And on the Blue Sky. That's one which is new.
Blue Sky, Twitter, Insta, not Mastodon?
I don't think I did a Mastodon. I can't remember.
There must be no tooting.
There must be no tooting.
No toots.
Okay.
No toots.
Don't have a Facebook page, so not all social media. Don't have a Bebo account. Don't have a MySpace page.
Find us on Telegram.
That's what I'd like the new website to have, James. Can you put a web ring in for us?
Oh, yes. And we can put 3 and 2 as like the next page along. Be like GeoCities all over again.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I
can't believe this. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I'm too young for this conversation. What's a web ring? No, we don't need to get into it. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Look it up. Okay, on that note, as Rich goes to look up web rings... James goes to look at his kitchen and I go to collapse into a heap. Thank you everyone for listening and goodbye and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Have a lovely end of your year.
Merry Christmas. Happy 2024. Buck 'em up.
Happy Hanukkah, etc.
Bye. Yeah,
all the other ones. Enjoy.
Bye.